across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hello. Wow.
Dirty brother.
Wow.
Horny.
Oh, man, what a song. What a song. I'm going to be honest, if you listen to the Tim Heidecker podcast, Office Hours, I nicked it from that this way. That's Fanny. I've heard of Fanny, but I've never heard of Fanny. Four-piece, all-girl, rock group. Rock and roll group. Rock and roll group. From the United States of America in the early 1970s. And they sound incredible. Absolutely incredible. So they're my new favorite band. And I don't know, I know very little about them. But I know I love Fanny.
You're a pervert.
Steady. Steady. What did you think of it?
It wasn't even good enough to be shit.
Well, that's a terrible start to the show. The Late Night Alternative, Ian Lee, that's me. Who's that over there?
Catherine Boyle.
Yes, all right. That's what I'm talking about. What are you doing?
These headphones keep sliding out, so I'm using these ones from across the desk.
It tastes so delicious. It tastes so good. It tastes so hot. Welcome to the show, the first show of the week. My back is killing me. My legs are killing me. But do you know what? The vibe is strong with this one. We are going to go to places unknown. And we're going to start there with a high energy. Oh, hang on a minute. Don't tell me the... Oh, flipping it. Oh, man. Can you put Dredge on line one for me, please, while I close phone box and reopen phone box? Because it don't work. Good evening, Dredge.
Hello. Good evening and welcome.
Oh, yeah. Look at you saying the words of, I want to say John Craven. I think I've had some kind of brain injury over the week.
Right.
Because when I'm trying to think of the certain people, I can't think of them. And David Frost. Got there in the end. You're saying the words of David Frost, but not in the voice of David Frost.
In the voice of Kenny Everett.
Can we do a little, this is how we're going to start the show, and it's going to be a great show tonight. If you've got a blank cassette, put it in. If you've not got a blank cassette, then I suggest you tape over whatever you've got on your cassettes. We're going to start with a little round of a game. We haven't played it for a while. It's called Do the David Frost, okay? So we're going to each do our David Frost impression. Sharon?
Yes?
You're playing Do the David Frost. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. We've got to do our David Frost impressions. I'll go first. It's me, then it's Dredge, then it's Catherine, and then it's Sharon. Here we go.
Right.
Hang on. Hello, good evening, and welcome. Dredge.
Hello, good evening, and welcome.
Hello, good evening, and welcome.
You've heard of David Frost, yeah? Oh, hang on, sorry.
Good evening and welcome.
I'm better saying, as we go through the keyhole.
You could have said that, but why did you... All right, we're going to go again, but this time, Kath's choosing the phrase. Kath, you go first.
Join me now as we go through the keyhole.
Okay, Dredge.
So, you'd have to be very small to get through the keyhole.
He's freestyling.
Thank you, Lloyd, as we go through the keyhole.
It's not Bruce Forsyth.
Shut up, shut your face, that was good.
He sounds like Frank Spencer.
Shut up. Sharon?
I'm far too fat to get through the keyhole.
Wow, people are talking about literally going through an actual keyhole. These are incredible scenes. Okay, I would say the winner of that is probably me.
Oh.
I think I was the best. Well, hang on a minute. We can get somebody. Don't worry, guys. Everyone thinks there's a little bit of a swizz going on. Let's bring in someone impartial. If I do that, I wonder if I can drag you down here. Does that system allow? Nope, system doesn't allow for a conference call. Let's see if we can drag Stephen. Good evening, Stephen.
Good evening.
Before we get to your main meat and two veg,
yeah.
Who was the best? In reverse order, Four, well, don't, no, let's be kind. Third, second and first. We won't mention fourth, but I think we'll all know who it is when you don't mention their name. The best David Frosts from third, second and first, please.
I don't want to do third because that's unfair.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Well, okay, I don't want to do third because I can't remember any names other than yours and Dredge's. There's the truth.
Wait a minute. You can't remember Catherine's?
Oh, yeah, okay. Hi, Kath.
Hello, I live here.
You don't remember Sharon?
No, I don't remember Sharon. Sharon, that's mean. I'm sorry. Hi,
that
guys.
Is mean, Sharon, isn't it?
Do it again. Do it again. Yeah. Everyone have another go. Go on, and I'll be the judge.
Right, okay. Well, we're going to have to put you in a mix because this system here won't let us do conference calls. So I'm going to move you. Stay there. You're coming back.
This time.
Shut your face.
What's this guy's name again?
I got no idea. Right, so we're going to do it again. And it's freestyle. You can say anything you want in the style of Sir David Frost. Let's start with Kath.
Hello, good evening, and welcome.
There's a lot of physicality going into that, which is a shame, because the voice is awful. Expounding far too much energy. Let's go to Sharon. Sharon, second.
Oh, it's so hot.
So, did you say...
So hot.
What did you say? Yes. Piss hot?
So hot.
It's so hot?
Yeah.
When did he ever say that?
You did.
I did, but I'm not David Frost. I mean, they're numpties. All right, okay, fine. That's your go, Wesley.
Okay, I'll go. I took the medicine. I got small, and I got through the keyhole.
This woman's nuts. Okay, we go over and tonight on through the keyhole. We're joined
through the keyhole.
Shut up. Tonight on Through the Keyhole,
a little bit of trouble,
is the marvellous Eve Thomas. Is that her name? The lady with the big bazoombas?
No, who's that?
A very talented newspaper publisher, I mean.
Oh, Pollard.
Eve, tonight on Through the Keyhole, our special guest is Eve Pollard. Hello, Eve. Good evening and welcome. Drage?
Hello, Betty. Good evening and welcome. Well.
This guy's getting on my nerves. All right, we'll come back.
You done a whoopsie in a carpet.
I'll do a whoopsie in your face in a minute. Steve, it's over to you, Steve. The judge's decision is final.
Okay, I'm going to have to give it to... on the basis that...
Third, second, first. Don't give it to anyone.
Okay, fine. Third will have to be Sharon, even though I suspect she's on narcotics. So I don't quite know what she was talking about. Third place, nonetheless.
Wow. Hang on a second. Sharon, drugs are very, very trendy at the moment. They are on message. Are you on drugs?
No.
Have you ever done drugs?
Yes, and I used to go to CA meetings, and now I'm off them.
Okay. I went to CA meetings, but honestly... For those that know, it's Cocaine Anonymous. It's like I always thought it was weird that there's a meeting for a specific drug. It's like having Whiskey Anonymous, right? You know, for
I don't know those guys.
Well, no, but those meetings, they really rattle through it, don't they? It's a real right. Who's going to read out the 12 steps? Right, my name's Ian. I'm Cocaine. So say these are the 12 steps to follow our traditions and other. But I found those meetings very, very intense.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about Gova? Naughty, 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 naughty boy.
Who?
Okay, well, that's her finger on the pulse. Okay, so she's third. Who is...
Remind me to ask you about that awkward moment when you asked Kelsey Grammer about cocaine. Awkward.
No, it wasn't awkward.
Oh, no, we'll come back to it.
All right, we'll come back to it in a minute.
I'm judging at the moment.
It might... Okay, but I thought there were more awkward moments than that, but okay, fine.
Okay, cool.
Go on. Okay, so Sharon is there. Sharon, we'll come back to you in a minute, I promise. Who's second?
No, I swear. I wanted to give it to Dredge, but he was silly and did Frank Spencer, so he's lost it. I'm going to have to, by default, give it to Cass.
Yes, mate!
Second.
Going to have to, by default, give it to you second.
You're second.
Oh.
So I'm first.
Yeah.
I
don't want your prize.
It's not bum liquory.
It's
accuracy. It's all it is accuracy. Hey, listen. We had a judge. We all agreed we'd abide by the judge. We got Stephen. Although, you know, anyway. All right, listen, we're going to take a break then. We're going to speak to Stephen and Dredge, who are both at the gala event. Actually, I don't know what a gala event is. Just don't be stupid because you can't do David Frost. Right.
They were both at the event I hosted last night, an evening with Kelsey Grammer. Excuse me, I was burped then. The group at the start was Fanny, and I'd never heard of them until today, until I listened to Office Hours with Tim Heidecker, and he played some Fanny. That is it. But they're a... grow up.
Oh, dear.
Grow up.
It means born in America, doesn't it?
Grow up. I've decided I want this show to be more mature.
Okay.
And it starts here. I love Fanny. I want to go online tonight and see if I can get my hands on some Fanny. I just want to dive deep into Fanny. I want to...
What, old Fanny?
I want to... Well, this Fanny's like 50 years old, yeah. This Fanny's 50 years old. I want to just order as much Fanny as I can get.
70s Fanny, yeah.
Yeah, I want to get some nice 70s Fanny. And I just want to devour it. I want to devour this old Fanny. So we'll talk about that. But it was so much more mature, Catherine, than you. So there. And then we're going to talk about lots of other things.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
By the way, Donna Marie, it's a niche phone-in. Have you seen her tweet?
Yeah, it's quite visual for the
radio. Here's a highbrow subject for the show. Shadows that look like celebrities. I have Pete Townsend on my ceiling. And she actually does. I've retweeted it. Thank you, Donna Marie. There is a shadow in the shape of Pete Townsend. Not just the powerful Roman nose, the stern upper lip, and the big forehead. There's Pete Townsend in shadow form.
Remarkable.
I don't get shadow puppetry. I think it's a con. I think it's a trick. Because it's just fingers, isn't it? It's fingers. It's light behind fingers, making a shadow, right?
Yeah.
So it's not really a bird. It's not really a rabbit.
That's the skill, though, isn't it?
Huh?
But that's the skill, though, isn't
it? No. There's no skill to it.
Do you want
there
to be an actual rabbit there?
Well, yes.
It wouldn't be a puppet, would it?
Well, in a thing I saw when
it
I was
very... called shadows.
Well, it's not a puppet. Here's the thing I saw when I was a kid. Those shadows came alive. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen in real life. That is not the thing that happens. So no, shadow puppets are a con. And anybody who goes, "Do you want to see my shadow puppets?" is a Jeremy Hunt.
Two things.
Yeah.
Who says that?
Hmm? Just people do all the time, mate. And I'm surprised.
My shadow puppets.
Yeah.
Who said that to you?
People say that all the time. Like if you're stuck in a log cabin, you're snowed into a log cabin, and you've run out of literature, then someone will say, "Do you want to see my shadow puppets?" And I go, "Yeah."
She also say, "You're a very dirty birdie."
Okay, I don't know cock a doody words. We've got Stephen and Dredge on. Stephen and Dredge are two of my favourite guys.
Oh, Dredge, by the way, thanks so much for last night.
No problem, you still owe me the money.
Oh.
Wow, Catherine's paying Dredge for sex?
No.
Right, you're so close. Delete that picture. Someone's just sent me a picture of a hairy ass. You're muted, 8-bit man. Yeah. You're muted, because I don't want to see that in my timeline. You're muted.
I do, I'm just going to...
No, it's disgusting. Right, so last night, an evening... with Kelsey Grammer, hosted by Ian Lee, at the Aldwych Theatre, a sold-out event. I can't talk. It was my birthday. Here's the weird thing, guys. It was my birthday, right? And Kelsey Grammer sang Happy Birthday to me. He led the whole theatre in a Happy Birthday to me. A cake was brought out. It was the weirdest night of my life. It was surreal. It was funny. I got on very well with him. We had a laugh. The surprise was slightly ruined because when I got in to my dressing room, which Catherine came in because I introduced her to Kelsey, you liked him, didn't you?
I thought he was very charming.
Very charming man. And very, would talk to us, was talking to us. It
and
wasn't.
You remembered what my name was.
Yeah, old school.
When we saw him again at the end of the show, which always makes us.
And he engaged with us. It wasn't hey, this is my producer, Catherine. Oh, hi, nice to meet you. Anyway, he spoke to you.
Yeah, he did.
The call sheet, I got in and the call sheet said 6:00, Kelsey and Ian arrive. 7:15, they're mic'd up. 7:20, sound check. 7:30, show starts. 9:00, show ends. with a surprise ending, right?
Written down.
And I'm thinking, come on, man. What else? And I said to the guy that was running it, Rocco, I said, Rocco, where's the surprise ending? Oh, nothing, don't worry about it. Thinking, right, well, they're going to sing Happy Birthday to me. Now I've got to do my surprise face.
Either Barry's going
to
walk off.
And here's another thing as well. I was given a very, very generous present, right? It's beautiful. A lot of work went into it. I'll find the name of the guy that did it, because he deserves a little bit of credit. But I was given a huge canvas portrait of me. Of actual me. And it's stunning, and it's beautiful, and I met the artist there who gave it to me, and I was blown away. And I said, thank you very much, and we chatted, and I retweeted him. I'm going to find his Twitter in a second. And all the time I'm thinking, oh, there we go, Craig James Art. Craig James Art. Craig, thank you. It's lovely, it's stunning. You've obviously put a lot of work into that. Thank you. And I'm all the time on there, I'm thinking, what the bloody hell am I going to do with this? Where am I going to put this? And I went into Kelsey's dressing room later on, and he had one. And someone said to him, Kelsey, where are you going to put it? He said, well, I'm not the kind of guy that has a house full of pictures of me, so I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with it. I said, Kelsey, I'm the same. Why don't we swap? He ignored that suggestion, probably for the best. But I don't have any pictures. I have pictures of my kids. I have some art done by Imani and Narina and Dan, but that's it. No pictures of me. So I'm kind of wondering, well, where do I put it? Where would you put it, Stephen? A big portrait of you.
I have got a caricature of the wife and I in the dining room, which is quite nice. Dining room's a good place.
Well, the dining room, I don't have a dining room. The dining room is my office.
Well, that's good too.
Well, but it would just, I just worry, someone comes in and sees it and goes, oh, you're a tosser.
Toilet?
Toilet, well, the toilet, I mean, the toilet is where I've got my, my wards for the radio, you know, the poster award.
Well, then why not? The shrine to you?
Well, that means I'd have to take down my Baha Men platinum cassette for over 1 million sales of Who Let the Dogs Out, which I'm not actually that keen to do. That's a genuine thing I've got in there.
Yeah, I know, and that is a huge sacrifice, but I think it might be worth it.
No, because it's opposite the toilets. Every time anyone in my house sits down, I will be looking over them. No, it's not happening. Anyway, Stephen, you think there was an awkward moment last night, do you?
No, I just, there were a couple of moments where wasn't he charming?
Yeah.
The most lovely man. Yeah. And you did a brilliant job, but sometimes you didn't need to ask him any questions.
Oh, I had to do hardly anything. Yeah, he just went. I did have to do very, very little.
And there were a couple of moments where I just thought he didn't want to speak. And I thought you just caught him with the cocaine question. He didn't seem to be expecting it. And I just thought, that's a bit thing.
Well, I can tell you, he was expecting it.
Oh, okay.
He was expecting it, because I'd met him for an hour about a couple of weeks ago. By the way, Russ, Sharon, Alan, stay there, we'll come to you in a bit. I met him for about an hour a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about what we could talk about. And I said, is there anything you don't want me to talk about? He said, no, you can ask me anything. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, I would be really interested in talking about your sister, Karen. Mm. She was the sister who was raped and murdered when she was 17. But I understand if you don't want to go there. He said, no, it would be my pleasure to talk about my wonderful sister on stage.
And it was beautiful how emotional he got when he talked about it.
And then in the meeting, we talked about cocaine, you know, because he was a cocaine addict. I'm a cocaine addict. He was drinking a gin and tonic. I said, oh, I notice you're still drinking. I can't drink. And we chatted about it. And I said, are you cool about me talking about drugs? He said, yes.
Cool.
So he was up for it. I think he misinterpreted my question.
Maybe.
I think he misinterpreted the story about telling the writers what to do.
Maybe.
And I said, was that when you were coked up? He said, no, that's just me leading the ship. Mm. So I think maybe, but then also, you know, your experience is different from mine, you know. You were watching it, man. You
but
paid.
But really enjoyed it, and I was reading your Twitter. You were nervous about it.
Yes.
But you came over so well. I'm not going to bumble it anymore. I'm just going to say you did brilliantly. And
thank you.
It was awesome. So
Stephen,
that's it. I'm done.
Thank you.
But there were just some bit takeaways that I came away with and thought, I need to call in and debrief.
Go on. And you will talk to Dredge about it, because Dredge, you were there last night as well. But Dredge managed, I don't know how, but managed to sneak in to the queue for the photos, didn't you, Dredge?
Yeah. I mean, I got really befuddled after getting a photo with him. Very befuddled.
In what way before? So there's this event, and so afterwards some people who had paid and some people who hadn't, Reg, and my sister, actually, I'll be honest, and Catherine, I'll be honest. I just pushed them in the line. I didn't know if we'd get chucked out or not, and we didn't. But they got professional photo done with him, and it's a great... I've seen the picture of you, Dredge. It's great.
Well, then, you know, I went downstairs. They said, oh, you get your photo downstairs, mate, or something. So I went downstairs, and this woman gave me the photo, and I was so befuddled, I said to her, thank you, sir.
Well, that's a nice befuddlement. Befuddled, yeah, in a good way, I'm hoping.
But it was great. And here's tonight's quiz, by the way.
Yep.
What is the link between Kelsey Grammer and Eddie Large?
Oh, well, I know the answer.
So do I. That Stephen, came up last night.
Stephen, you know the answer.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought Eddie Large would get mentioned in an evening like that?
I did.
Did you?
I just had a feeling about it.
03444991000. The connection between, and it's a good one. It's a legitimate one.
What I liked about it was that you said, "Oh, he was a well-known comedian over here," and then Kelsey Grammer said, "I've heard of him."
But here's the thing as well.
Really? Where exactly have you heard of Little and Large?
Nicholas Lyndhurst might be in the new Frasier. That's what he was hinting at, wasn't it?
I think he will be. Or there's going to be some kind of Fools and Horses Frasier crossover. Oh, Either way, it's just a world I need to see.
It's going to be. Anyway, Stephen, you had some questions. Go on.
Not questions, just things I'm still thinking about. A phrase that I have stolen from him, without question... When he was talking about the guy that was the voice of Sideshow Bob, used the phrase, which is just a beauty, he was beyond any working definition of gay.
Oh, it was a great line.
What a line.
A great line. I'll tell you the bit that was uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
And this is where I sat back and I think I actually crossed my arms and thought, I'm not saying anything. His semi-defense of Harvey Weinstein.
I knew that was going to be my second awkward thing to bring up. I thought you were going to let rip, actually.
I couldn't. I couldn't because it was inappropriate. He had a cautious defense. I suspect if he had gone much further, I possibly would have had to say something. But I'm also aware some people pay 200 quid for a ticket and I don't feel it was a huge betrayal for me to keep quiet. I think my face expressed enough, you know. If he'd gone into a full-blown defence of Weinstein, I would have said, well, there are a number of people who disagree, and it is, of course, going to court, which implies that perhaps there is some kind of, he's been accused of rape, and it's not just sexual misdemeanour, and la, 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 la. So there was that. Go on.
He mildly sort of dismissed it, didn't he? I don't know anything about his personal life. He's a great director, and then just moved on, which is good. Okay, yeah. The Christopher Plummer story was brilliant.
Yep.
That's another good phone-in, actually. What's the link between Kelsey Grammer and Christopher Plummer?
What is the difference between Kelsey Grammer and Christopher Plummer?
There's not the
difference. What's the link? Oh, yeah.
Amazing story. And do you know what my sad takeaway was?
Go on.
The fact that Eddie the dog and Martin Crane didn't get on in real life.
I didn't ask that, because I thought everyone knew that.
I didn't know that story.
Oh, well, I'm glad someone asked it, because I thought everyone knew that everyone hated the dog, because he was a little SH1T.
Did you genuinely read his autobiography to find that?
Yeah, I didn't... That wasn't in the autobiography, I don't think, but I'd heard that story before. But I did read the autobiography. It's a cracking read. It's a really, really good read. I'm going to lend it to Dredge, then Dredge can pass it on to you if you want.
Yeah, please.
It's a really, really good read. Stephen, thank you very much. Dredge, anything else you want to add before, and then we should move on with the rest of the show?
Why did you ask him if he was difficult to work with? Was that implied in the book? That he was difficult.
No, that was again. That was maybe I messed the questioning up. That was the cocaine question. That was all to do with cocaine. Was he difficult?
Right.
Was he? He kind of misunderstood that. It was. Were you, the question was meant to be? Were you difficult to work with when you were on cocaine? Because I've read a few accounts where people say he was, and he denied that, and that's absolutely fine. But
it couldn't have gone any better, really.
Thank you,
mate. I mean, what was very interesting was you didn't say very much, which was great.
Yeah.
I thought that was really appropriate, and that is what, you know, a really good interviewer does.
Well, we've all seen these Q&As where the bloke doing the questions talks more, and I'm not interested in the bloke doing the questions, even if it's a bloke who's on the jungle. I don't care. I'm here to see the fella sat on the left. So it was this was my thing from as soon as I knew I had the gig, was, right, it's not about me. All I've got to do is make him look good. So I did all of the research. I knew as much as I could know, which meant that if he went off on a tangent, I could keep up with him for most of it and go, oh, and what about this? Weren't you struck by lightning? Didn't you think you were Jesus? which he did when he was a kid. He downplayed that, I tell you. And then it's not about me. I got a couple of laughs in. Beautiful.
Can I just say, I'm doing a meet and greet tomorrow if anyone wants to come along. Oh. 30 quid for a photo round back of Sainsbury's. Is that all right?
Okay, beautiful. Dredge, thank you very much indeed. So that's Dredge. It's going to be round the back of Sainsbury's in London. And you probably all know it. And he'll be doing a meet and greet.
The late night lip service for lovers, loners and lounge lizards.
Yeah, well, where exactly is your accent from?
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Oh, I've forgotten your name already. Excuse me.
On Talk Radio.
And here's the decision I made about the show. Right, I was thinking about this. This kind of struck me the other day when I was listening to Nick Abbott, and a caller phoned up. Ken from Newcastle phoned up to complain about the naked bike riders. There were like 300 naked bike riders. Dirty. I mean, they are just disgusting. The 300 naked bike riders, and I thought, and I feel a little bit uncomfortable saying this while he's not here. I was hoping he'd phone up so we could have this conversation, but you can't have a conversation, so we'll do it. By letting him come on and spout his horrific homophobic views, laughing at him, are we, in a way, doing what everyone did with Anjan Chowdhury?
Mm.
And Anjan Chowdhury was on all the phone-in shows.
Because he would say something outrageous and the phones would go nuts.
Yeah, and we turned him down. We got in trouble at Three Counties because we said, actually, he was booked as a guest. We said, we don't want him. He's booked, don't want him. And
he's not the only one.
With Tommy Robinson as well. We made a stand. No one else at that station would. They said, yeah, but you'll get the phones ringing. I'll get the phones ringing, yeah. Mate.
You'll get the phones ringing with what?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'll get the phones ringing and it won't be with hatred. And so we made the decision not to have him on. And when he got done, I can't remember what he got done for in the end. There were a lot of people that were going, well, we shouldn't have been letting him on the radio. And we went, yeah, we didn't. But he was there as like a figure of fun. He was the comedy jihadist, Islamist.
And it was an easy...
Islamist extremist.
It was an easy way to get phone calls. And that seemed to be the aim of the game.
And I just been thinking a lot since I heard... Because I've not really heard Ken as a caller. I hear him when he's on James's show, but I'm in the office, so I'm not really listening. This was me in bed, listening on the radio. And what I heard was not Christian love. It was anger and it was hatred and it was horrible to listen. It was a toxic listen. And Nick was having fun with it. Nick Abbott, who's I think is great, was kind of laughing at him and winding him up and saying, "Yeah, I agree with you having these people on the bikes is wrong, but what's your problem?" And it just didn't sound right to me. And so I don't think we should let Ken on anymore. His calls are never very interesting anyway. Just in the light of stuff that I'm going through, which I might talk about at some point, also in the light of I can't stop thinking about those women on that bus.
Yep.
It's really upset me. It's really upset me, actually. And I can't help thinking that maybe allowing people on like Ken is adding to the problem. On
DAB. Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So where are you now, Sam? Where are you now?
This is why I'm calling you. This is where I'm really confused because I've never taken codeine in this pure form. I came out of the hospital, went to my friendly pharmacy. I'm now able to buy whatever quantity I want. Phosphate codeine pills, 30 milligrams, 60 milligrams. You know, I'm getting them, and I feel like shit, man. I'm doing this all again. I probably have it. Sorry for the word.
That's okay.
Sorry. And then it's not giving me the same feeling I was getting when I was taking EFM Plus. Now I'm going back into combining codeine with codeine plus over the counter. And the whole thing's a mess, and I feel like real, really, really bad with myself. Really bad.
Okay, well, so you're feeling a lot of shame.
I don't even know why I'm saying this on the phone, and this must be...
Well, I'm really glad you're saying this on the phone, because a lot of people think you can only be addicted to, like, coke or heroin. They don't realise that you can be addicted to stuff that you can buy in Superdrug.
The codeine thing is a massive problem in the States.
Huge problem. I know a lot of recovering addicts who are really nervous about taking prescription medication for that reason. So what do you want to do, Sam?
In A&E, I was told, the girls admitted, my wife was with me, had I not come that day, say a week had passed, I would have died.
Yeah. Well, you know you're killing yourself now, right?
I'm now on the precipice of going back to the process of killing myself.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're killing yourself. By taking them, you're killing yourself, right? You know that, and the fact that you're in hospital a while ago means, yeah, you probably feel physically better, but you ain't what you were 10 years ago. Your insides, I would imagine, with that much Nurofen, are probably screwed up.
I'm not there yet. And the reason I'm making this call, why, I mean, you put it karma, call it nature, the discussions you're having tonight just touch a sensitive point. And I feel I'm going back to where I was again.
Okay.
And I don't want to go back
to there
again.
How are you going to try and stop it, Sam?
My problem is, it's not what you were saying earlier. I need it for the confidence. I am genuinely a confident person, but I'm an introvert. The work I do demands that I be social and be able to talk. And I kind of lean on these things. It makes me talk. It makes me talk the way I want to talk. And when I'm not on these things, I find being able to talk very difficult.
But you know that's a con, right? Here's the thing I learned. All the stuff that cocaine allowed me to do was, it's going to sound so cheesy, was within me already. All of that stuff, to have sex, to speak to women, to be funny on stage, all of that stuff was within me.
As in the placebo, you mean?
Not quite a placebo, because it just sped up everything I was looking for. Yes, cocaine gave me those things, but it was fake. It was fake. Everything it gave me was fake. It was fake energy that I was borrowing from the future, right? All of those things, I have been considerably more successful since I stopped doing cocaine. I'm considerably more confident now that I don't do cocaine. I'm considerably sexier. I'm funnier. I can look people in the eye, you know. So all of these things that you're getting from codeine, is within you. So you need to work out how you're going to stop taking it.
Yeah, I'll give you an example on a typical day pre-hospital.
Yeah.
I wake up, get in my car, on the way to the office, I have a box of 32 tablets.
Yeah.
By the time I get to the and it's made up of four 16 things, what are they called? Strips.
Yeah.
I'll have three strips.
It's making my stomach ache just thinking about
doesn't
it.
Doesn't that burn?
That's where the...
Okay, listen, we don't need to go, I get it, you're in trouble and you want to stop, I don't need to know that...
My body's leaking blood somewhere.
Yeah, Sam, you're going to die. Listen, we don't need to hear the war stories, it sounds horrendous, all right? It sounds horrendous. So what are you going to do to stop it, to sort it out?
You know what's scaring me most is I've never ever taken codeine in its purest form.
Okay.
And this is my first week.
Okay. Well, then this is your first week. This is good. This means that we're in early.
It's scaring me very
much. Sam, I'm going to ask you for the fourth time.
So?
No. I'm enjoying the fact that you're avoiding the question, because this is what we do. What are you going to do to stop it?
I just did one step called Ian Lee. That's the first step.
That's a great step. What's step number two?
I don't know how to talk to myself. I don't know how to convince myself.
You can't do it. I don't think you can do it on your own. Does your wife know?
It's one of those things where she knows, but I don't want her to know.
Yeah.
She does my head in, and I, of course, am always defensive.
Now, when you say she does your head in, is that because she's telling you to stop taking drugs?
Yes, and I'm always defensive. I don't.
Yeah. You're lying. You're lying to her.
You know why? Because your addiction... That addiction wants to kill you, and it knows that she's the enemy. Because without her, it can take control.
You...
I mean, if I had to put up with me all these years, I've been a fool at times. I've overdone it and she mixed it with alcohol, and I've been the fool of...
She must love you very much, and she must be an incredible person.
And we had beautiful kids, yeah.
Good. All right. Well, listen, you don't want to die for the kids. If there's anything that's going to keep you alive at the moment, you've got to do it for yourself. But let's focus on the kids. So you need to stop taking this, right? I would suggest, these are my suggestions. These are my suggestions, right? My suggestions are, speak to your doctor.
I can't.
Why?
I just can't do it.
Why?
I don't know.
Because they'll stop you from killing yourself.
And what are they going to say? Don't smoke cigarettes. Don't do all the stuff that you say, the boring stuff.
Does it, I don't know what your doctor's going to say. You don't know what your doctor's going to say. But so you, so you're, you, what, you're scared of him just saying you've got to stop? You're scared of that?
So he's going to say it, and then what happens? That isn't going to, how's that going to benefit me?
How, okay, because he's going to know the problem, and it means that in the future, once you get a grip on this, once you get a grip on this, he won't prescribe you codeine-based pain relief.
Right.
So this is sowing the seeds for the future. Nobody he might also, he
my,
might also...
My brain is finding sneaky ways to get it. Nobody's prescribing
here's
it.
Here's the thing, your brain is evading every suggestion. Why have you phoned me? Because you're avoiding every suggestion I'm making that might help you beat this. So why did you phone me? What did you think was going to happen in this phone call?
Good question.
It's a great question. I ask the best questions.
Maybe because I've been listening to you for 20 years now. I don't know. Yeah.
Why did you pick up the phone and call me? And then not only that, you then called me back. You pulled over and then you called us back. So you wanted to speak to me. So why?
Because it's happening at this moment now. You understand?
Yeah.
The last 3 days, I didn't want to get out of the house. I didn't want to take anything. So I just decided to sleep. I don't want to take them. So I just slept. Avoid the whole thing.
All I can do, Sam, is tell you what I did.
Close the phone on me because I'm
boring. Shut up, man. You're not boring. You're a brother. You're a brother in pain. I'm going to close the phone on you a bit because we're coming to the end of the show. But I'm not going to. You're not boring. Who cares about boring? It's life, man.
Well, warn people out there. Drugs aren't just.
A don't. Thing. No. I don't want you. I don't want you.
Sam. Little red box. I see that little box
Sam.
In the chemist.
Shut up.
I see that little red box in the chemist. Man, it's like, oh, beauty. I want that.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Plus, give it to me.
Exactly.
It's just terrible.
All I can do is tell you how I stopped taking drugs.
Yeah.
And you'll find a way to ignore it.
Yeah. No, go, please, Ed. No, go ahead. I'm not like that.
Okay.
Please.
I told the girl I was living with at the time that I thought I had a drug problem. Yeah. Initially, she was furious with me. She was furious with me for wasting time and money and lying to her. That was the first day. Second day, she shouted at me. Second day... She said, right, okay, what are we going to do? So, boom, within 24 hours, she was on side. Then we got in touch with Narcotics Anonymous, and I started going to meetings. And I went to meetings for 16 months, thinking I could cheat it, thinking I could just, like, do a line every couple of weeks, thinking I could still smoke weed, thinking I could stop taking drugs, but I could drink... Thinking all of that stuff, and then after 16 months, it hit me. I went, oh, right, I've got to stop everything. And then I stopped everything after 16 months of going to meetings, trying to swerve it, trying to wriggle out of it, listening to the bits that I thought I wanted to hear and not the other bits. But that's how I did it, is I told my partner, my girlfriend, the person I was living with, and I went to meetings. That's how I did it. Because you sit and share, you share with like-minded people who are in a similar situation. And there are heroin addicts who have been homeless. There are cocaine addicts who are driving taxis. There are rock stars. There are old women who are drunks and do cocaine. There are, do Valium. There are people that have still got really good jobs and are addicted to over-the-counter medicines. Everybody's there. And you listen for the similarities and not the differences. And it works, man. I got 13 years clean, and then I stopped going to meetings, and I picked up drugs again and started using coke again because my head lies to me.
I attended once, and it's the whole thing. I was just being judgmental. Oh, you bloody loser, whatever. But I was interested.
Some of them are losers. Well, they're not losers because they're sat in the room.
No, I'm not being mean.
No. I know what you mean. It's hard not to.
Just the whole thing to me was nonsense. Yeah. I mean, I didn't get anything out the first meeting, and I walked out. I mean, I don't want to hear all this.
Whereabouts do you live, man?
And I was saying to myself, this isn't me. I'm not like them.
Where? Don't tell me exactly. No. Roughly, where do you live? In London?
Kind of way, in a way. I tweeted you a few months ago, Raffaello. You won't remember.
I don't remember.
I remember.
What was this? What did he tweet?
Yeah. Raffaello. I remember this.
That's it.
I don't remember.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where are you? Where are you in London?
North London. Yeah.
North London. Right.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Right. Do you work?
I run a company, unfortunately. Right.
Okay, so you can get out of work if you needed to, yeah?
I can, yeah.
Okay. Hang on a minute. I'm a little look-see.
And that's the other thing, is being successful.
Sorry about it. That was a big start.
Or under the influence of the stuff and being successful, another fear of me leaving the stuff is perhaps I got to where I am.
No, you
by
did.
Being under the influence.
You did it despite it.
Yeah. Or because of it.
No, balls. That's not a great one. Hang on a minute. Okay. Well, so what are you doing Wednesday at 5:30?
Whatever I need to do, you tell me.
Can you get to...
What's, yeah?
Yeah?
Why? What?
So come to a meeting with me?
Okay, well... Please explain. Yeah, I don't mind.
I'm going Wednesday, 5:30, I'm going to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Would you like to join me? How much does he want it? How much do you want it?
I don't want to be in this anymore. I just want to be flipping like everybody else. I just want to be taking drugs.
Well, you're not going to be like everyone else, unfortunately. We're not like everyone else. We got special gifts. We got powers. We've got superpowers.
I don't want to be taking drugs anymore. I'm too old for this. I just want to give up, man. I don't want to be normal without
Sam,
rely on something else.
Sam, we have to go because the show is coming to an end.
Yeah, I get it. Sorry.
No, you've got nothing to apologise for. I'm going to be at a meeting at 5:30 on Wednesday. If you want to come, give me a call tomorrow between 10 and 1.
Okay.
All right, if you give me a call between 10 and 1 tomorrow night during the show.
Yeah. Okay.
And that, so you've got 24 hours. I don't want to bully you or anything. So you've got 24 hours. You want to come, give me a call tomorrow night and we'll talk, we could come on air and I'll give you my number or something and we'll text each other and then I'll meet you outside the meeting and I'll go in with you. It's a funny little meeting. It's a tiny one. It's really tiny and it's weird. I like it because it's weird and there are some weirdos there. Then. But it's a good meeting. There's a lot of clean time in there.
Okay.
But I'm not going to bully you. I would never pressure you to do this or not. If you want to come, call me tomorrow night between 10 and 1.
Just call like I should just call now.
Call now. Come on the air and either say, yeah, I'm up for it, or look, I don't fancy that. And that's fine. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to criticise you.
Let me think about it. If I call, that means I'm up for it. If you just tell me one thing, what is it? You said something I didn't hear. It's a what meeting?
Narcotics Anonymous. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous, but for drugs.
Okay, cool. All right, then. I'll call you tomorrow.
Have a little... Sam, go online. Cool. Google Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah.
Right? Just Google. Yeah. I think it's ukna.org. But just Google it. Go to their homepage, and there's a few questions on the front page. Am I an addict? Just answer the questions.
Okay.
And if you don't want to do it tomorrow, well, there's meetings every night, so we can sort something else out. Or we don't sort anything else out.
You personally still go after you've stopped. You still go, really?
Yeah. When I stopped, I picked up again. Sam, look, I have to go because I've got to go to the news. I really hope I get to speak to you tomorrow, man.
I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, everybody boring you. Sorry.
Shut up.
No, do you know what? People listening to that are in the same position.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate your honesty. And I'm sorry we've got to end it there, but we've got to do that. Mo, we haven't got time, I'm afraid, mate. That's just the way it goes sometimes. We will be back tonight at 10. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, James. Paul Ross is up next, dear listener. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee. On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Here we go. Well, that's a relief.
Norman.
That's a relief. No one told me. Here's the thing, Neil Hannon. Why the hell didn't you tell me there was a new Divine Comedy album out? Why did no one tell me? I had to get people on Twitter to say, well, have you heard the new Divine Comedy album? Wait, what? No, of course not. So I've just ordered it. Double CD, I think. I've just ordered it. I'm getting it delivered in the post. That's because I'm a showbiz guy.
Yeah.
From Amazon. But that's the single. That's the one everyone was telling me to listen to. And that was, I'd not heard that. I deliberately didn't play that before.
So not only does he have a new single out.
I hate this guy.
He's got an album out and it's a double album. Yeah. And not a word.
No, not a word.
On the phone.
Unbelievable. Hannon. That's great. Oh, that's, the world is a slightly better place, guys. There is a new Divine Comedy album out and the lead song off it, Norman and Norma, is brilliant. Just hearing his voice. Oh, man. Remember that concert we went to him? I've seen him a few times. The Royal Albert Hall. Saw him. It was him on a guitar and a pianist at a theatre in London. Seen him a few times. But the gig we saw at Manchester, that was probably a couple of years ago.
I will
ago
never
now
forget that. It was beautiful.
What a night. What a night. Well, I'm hoping there's going to be some kind of tour going on, because we're going to have to go and get some tickets and go and see him again, because he is flipping. We're going to see a Beatles tribute band in Abbey Road playing Abbey Road. How strange is that? And I checked them out. They're good. They're like one of those. I think they're Dutch or German or some kind. They're some kind of foreign,
mm-hmm.
And they're called the Audiophiles, I think. Or the Acoustics, I think it's the Audiophiles, and they're great. And you and I have been invited to see them performing Abbey Road at Abbey Road. That's going to be nuts.
I would be delighted to accept.
We will go then. I've never been to Abbey Road. Supposed to go with Giles Martin, but then he stitched me up, scumbag. Piece of trash. But we're going to go and see this band. I'm thoroughly looking forward to it. Good evening, dear listener. Late Night Alternative. I'm Ian Lee.
I'm Catherine Boyle.
Thank you. The show that celebrates life, love, music, art. We like bringing you kind of new bits of art. We're trying to get Ronnie Spector on the show as a guest. Right? She's doing some Christmas concerts, and I've seen her Christmas show years ago, BB King's. Okay, and it's a great event, and we're trying to get her on the show again. And so to charm her PR people, we've re-uploaded the interview we did with her that was 2019 that we did with her last year. So I thought the interview was 2018. What year was it?
16.
2016. It was 3 years ago. We had Ronnie Spector on the show, so we put it out again. If you missed it, it's like, and I'm thinking, maybe once a week. If we have a week where we don't have guests, maybe once a week we just put one of the really early interviews out for people that weren't listening, and the new listeners can dig in, have a bit of John Sebastian, a little bit of John Ronson.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Norman.
Here we go. Here we go. Norman. Boom. 03444991000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you'd be very, very welcome. I'm Ian Lee. You are
Catherine Boyle.
Welcome to the Sonic Feedback. Gotta love the Sonic Feedback.
Bit of Larson.
The Larson effect, of course. The correct term, not posh. No, let's not be elitist. The correct term for feedback. The Larson effect, named after Larson, don't know his first name.
The Far Side.
No. Is it? I don't think it's the same guy. It's a Swedish scientist who was, I guess, was just like dicking around with a microphone in a laboratory. Anyway, that was Norman and Norma from the new album from the Divine Comedy, which, it's not a good look. I didn't know this was out until yesterday. Someone tweeted me and said, have you heard the new Divine Comedy album? I went, wait, what? What the hell? And this is why I am angry about this. So we've got Neil Hannon on the line now. Neil, why the hell didn't you tell me about the new album?
Why didn't I tell you?
Why didn't you tell me, man? I thought we were friends. What is this?
You didn't write, you didn't call.
Outrageous.
I've commanded everybody in the world not to tell you that there was a new album.
I see, I've offended you that much, have I? I just thought I was being a fan.
No, it was just an elaborate practical joke.
It's like, what is it, The Truman Show? This album doesn't exist, but now it's been constructed so that I think it does exist. It exists. Jesus, we're just having what I believe they call classic bant. Tell us, it came out, it's only been out a while, hasn't it? Office Politics, has it been out a week? Okay,
since last Friday.
Okay, well, listen, I'll be honest, I don't watch Top of the Pops anymore. I don't have cable TV, so I can't see you on MTV, Neil. So I'm not up to date with these things. Yeah. So we.
That's quite all right. I've been all over Top of the Pops.
Yeah, and those wardrobe malfunctions were quite something.
Is it true that when you went on Top of the Pops, a record, whatever the record was, it slipped down the charts?
It's quite possible. I don't know that story myself. I think you too had that for their first single. You're tarring me with a different Irish brush.
It's just a revenge attack, Neil, for not telling him about the album.
It's a revenge brushing.
It's the accent. It's like I file, you know, I've got black music, I've got Irish music. You guys are all the same. Neil, you're not on...
Steady
now. Well, as I was about to say, listen, because these are dangerous times. You're not on Twitter, are you, as a human being? You're not on there.
As a human being, I don't do the media that is social. I don't do anything social, really.
Good.
You know, it's not just media.
Well, I was wondering if you... We've had a few of my heroes and a few of my pop stars and a few of my favourite radio presenters have been, you know, racist on Twitter. I just wondered if maybe... I don't know. This is a strange way to open an interview, but are you? Is there anything racist you want to say? It's very... That and cocaine are very trendy at the moment.
Okay. No, I think I'll steer clear of all that.
Well done.
No, I mean, to be honest, it did cross my mind when all of this was happening to other people that if I was on something like that, it's almost, you know, impossible not to accidentally say the wrong thing at some point. So I'm glad I'm not there.
No, you're right. Yeah. I had a week it was 2 weeks. Where I had to defend myself against transphobia, accusations of anti-Semitism, and accusations of just general racism. And I had to come out and do a lot of firefighting just because I'd liked the wrong tweets. Oh, my God. Anyway, right. Office Politics is the album. I love the cover, man. I love the look.
Thank you.
You're rocking. You're looking a bit like Mackenzie Crook there, it has to be said, which is not a bad thing.
I don't know what I look like, but we were trying to have one of those big sort of late 70s double album covers, you know, where you get lost in the action. And inside it as well is really cool with, like, the office party. I enjoyed putting it all together with some very clever people. Yeah.
I have ordered it. It's coming. I haven't got it yet. I've only heard the singles because that's the kind of guy I am. I want to play it all in one go. Do you... You were on the phone there and we're playing Norman and Norma. Do you like hearing your own stuff being played? Do you still get a thrill from it, or does it you
shrivel? I was picking it to pieces while I was listening to it on the phone.
Yeah.
I was just going, sharp, flat, sharp, out of time. But that's the same with every record I've ever made. It's just impossible to ever really get them completely 100% right, you know? You'll never hear it done right, ever. Sorry.
but that's the joy of it. That's the. How do you do it? You're not cutting it all live, are you? I'm assuming obviously you're not using the auto tune and those tricks.
I mean, I'm going to admit readily to occasionally, you know, when you don't have the time to kind of go in and do yet another vocal take, to using a machine to sharpen a note, you know. But I can't stand it when they just use it as of right, you know, all the way through a vocal and kind of, it just sounds like it's being come out of a machine and it's kind of pointless being a human if you're going to sing like that, you know? We do it differently for every song, you know? It's literally whatever that song requires, we'll try and do. Norman and Norma, we got wrong the first time and went back into the studio like a year later and re-recorded it. And you know, second time lucky.
What was different? What was wrong?
Rhythmically, it was a bit clunky the first time. Right. So the second time, it kind of flowed better. And also, there was slightly different sort of instrumentation to give it more of a 80s sheen.
You're still making videos. There's a lovely video for that. There's a great video for Queue Jumper. Someone said, have you seen
this?
You
like that one?
Oh, I love it. It's very, someone on Twitter suggested it's very like the Kenny Everett video show.
Yeah, we were going for like 1981, you know, those real kind of whiteout studios.
Yeah.
With, like, you know, Madness videos when they were just kind of arsing around in the studio. I loved those. And Buggles and things like that.
Buggles.
Yeah, that's the vibe we were going for.
Buggles, the first video played on MTV, I believe.
That is correct.
Well, thank you very much. That's 5 points to me. Well done. Ian Lee versus Neil Hannon in useless music
trivia
information.
Off.
Trivia off. Here's the thing, right? I am an old man. I don't watch TV anymore. Where do videos go now? I suppose it's all online, isn't it? I suppose it's all clicks.
Yeah, I mean, for a while it was worrying because I thought they were going to be unnecessary. You know, made completely obsolete. But actually, people watch the quite often if they hear a new song, they'd actually go to YouTube and look it up there first. And so visuals are quite useful to go along with them. Yeah. But we don't spend as much as we used to on them. I would say that.
Well, you were kind of in your pop star peak was sort of the mid to late 90s. When there was still a lot of money in the music industry. So I'm guessing, you know, for the huge hits like National Express and stuff like that, they must have been chucking piles of cash at those videos.
Oh, I'm incredibly wealthy. It's just like oozing out of every pore. That's why I'm still making records 30 years.
I don't mean you personally. You would, of course, have wasted it on champagne and cigars. I get that. That's the lifestyle. But the videos, were they chucking like hundreds of thousands of pounds at your videos back then?
No, not hundreds of thousands, but you'd definitely be maybe spending 30 or 40 grand on them back then. Now, if you would never want to get as close, you know, to 10 really on them. Yeah.
Chris,
it would be a force.
It would be. But also, you know, you can just film it on an iPhone. Get some kid to film it on an iPhone these days. That's a fiver.
I've often thought about it, actually.
I think it could be done. Wasn't there a movie released recently that was all shot on iPhone?
Yes, there was. I can't remember what it was, though.
No, I remember it was one of those things that sounded interesting in concept.
Oh, Star Wars The Force Awakens.
That would be it. That was it. Yeah. Hey, have you seen the film Booksmart?
No, but I like the posters. I'll go and watch it just because of the posters.
I went and saw it today because I had a few hours. I went and saw it. It's very funny. It's like a...
Is it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was hilarious.
And he hates everything, Neil.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
No, I do too. So, great. That means I'll like it.
Okay, you're definitely like it. If you don't, well, then I'm paying for the pick and mix. You had a friend of the show, Chris Difford, is on this record. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Absolutely obsolete. I was singing the chorus, and it sort of came out all cockney, and I thought it sounded a bit like him. So I phoned him up, and he said yes. And it's really weird when that happens.
And when you say you phoned him up, right, have you got, you know, your Chris Difford's number? Or did you have to, like, go to a friend and say, you did a thing with Squeeze, or?
Well, I mean, I'd met him once or twice over the years, but actually it's because Simon Little, my bass player, had played with him a bit.
Right.
So he had his number. Chris regrets giving it to Simon now.
Hello, this is Chris Difford. Yeah, this is Neil Hannon. Just wondering if you come play on my record. Yeah, sure, no worries.
That's exactly what it was like.
Wow, what a world we live in where that's possible.
Isn't it extraordinary? But, I mean, it is, the extraordinary thing is that I grew up, you know, looking at him on Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea that now he's singing on my record is quite sort of perverse in a way, but I'm very grateful to him.
Of course, because I'm one of those guys that has to have everything. I'm a middle-aged, lonely, divorced man, so I'm a collector. I bought the deluxe version. What am I getting for the extra £2?
Pretty coloured vinyl.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, hang on. Is it the vinyl?
Oh, no, I'm getting the CD. I'm getting the CD.
Oh, the CD. Oh, right. You get... I wrote a musical version of Swallows and Amazons with Tom Morrison, Helen Edmondson, and it's the original sort of piano demos on a second CD for that. It looks very nice.
We're going to sneak some of those out next week. And is there, I hate to, but I have to, because it was in the papers today. Father Ted, the musical, is that happening?
It is. Oh, yeah, totally. We're a year into the process.
Wow.
And workshopping next week, and lots of actors singing and dancing. And, oh, it's going to be super. Very entertaining.
I love your salesman skills. Yeah, it's going to be very entertaining. Really, you really.
That's my limit of salesmanship.
Well done. Good.
I'm rubbish.
No, you're not rubbish. Your salesmanship is in the beauty of your melodies and your wonderful magical lyrics.
Come.
We're coming. How is Thomas Walsh?
He's actually going to have an operation soon, but he's, he's in tip-top form. Yeah.
Okay, well,
he'll be a new man when you next see him.
Well, I suppose that keeps him quiet for a little bit.
Well, no, it won't, will it?
A little bit.
under anaesthetic, he'll still be wanging on for hours.
Quite possibly, telling people off, yeah.
I love Thomas so much. Right, listen, the album is Office Politics. Where is now? Is there a best place to get it? I'm always reluctant to recommend Amazon. Is there a place where you get more cash?
Our shop. Just go to the Divine Comedy website and we will sell it to you.
Okay.
That is the place to do it.
And that's also, that's where there's a list of tour dates as well. You're doing a tour around Europe,
yeah.
September and October, right?
October, yeah. The Apollo in London. Looking forward to that. It's a big venue. Please come.
That's it. Now listen.
More salesmanship.
Well, no, this is. Please come. But that's what we used to call back in the day the Hammersmith Odeon. I've seen Crosby, Stills and Nash there, and some other old people. That's a big old venue.
I saw Kate Bush there. That was one of my highlights.
Did you go? My sister went to that. She said it was magic.
Yes, I was like that close to Kate's foot. When she was being carried, sort of stretcher-bearered off at one point.
Are you planning anything like that?
Her pinky.
Are you planning a big extravaganza? I think we
know
the answer.
I don't know what we... I haven't thought about the live show yet. I'm sure it'll be pretty mental, because they generally are.
They're always fun.
We'll play lots of tunes, and people will have good times.
Oh, we had... Yeah. We came to the last show you did in Manchester.
Yes.
What a venue.
Oh, well, and that was a show.
It was amazing. Great. I'm glad you could feel it too, Neil, because there was a wave of affection in that room. Yeah, it was amazing.
And also... There was a bunch of old friends from Anna, and they all got completely langered. And, it was the messiest backstage afterwards. It was ridiculous, but we had a good laugh.
Neil, we love you so much, and we love the Divine Comedy, and I'm looking forward to getting this new record. We're going to come and see you in Oxford. I think that's where we're going to, yeah. Catherine, isn't it?
What?
We'll see you soon, man. Best of luck with the record. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you to you both, and thank you for your support. Thank you.
Always, Neil. Thank you. Neil Hannon, the Divine Comedy, always support that. The guy is just one of the best. I mean...
Don't be deceived by that delivery, because he can put on a show, that man.
And also, it's that voice, man. It's just that voice. I mean... and also, you know, all right, so you know them from the hits in the mid-90s, but check out the albums afterwards, because I would suggest they get better and better and better. We'll give you the link to the website and where you can get the record and stuff in a bit. Let's take a quick break. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right, this next call is going to be a little bit awkward. In fact, the next two calls are going to be a little bit awkward. So, let's do it. Good evening, Ken.
Good evening, Ian and Kath. Thanks for taking my call.
It's the last time we will be, because I've made a decision. We've made a decision.
Yes.
I don't want you to come on my show anymore.
Okay, I'll go along with that, if you just allow me to speak tonight.
No, I will not allow you to speak tonight. I don't...
You spoke about me last night, friend. I need the reply here to tell you what I'm going to do about your discussion last night.
Okay, you carry on with that then, go on.
Right, I've taken advice on how to respond to your actions, Ian.
For banning you from a radio show?
No, I've heard that you've been attacking me on the internet as well.
What have I said on the internet? I wrote a tweet saying I didn't like homophobia.
this is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm taking advice. Just allow
Ken,
me
if,
one
Ken,
minute.
Ken, if,
one
no, minute. No, 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 Ken, if you're telling me you're taking legal advice, then we can't talk about it on air, so we'll
no,
leave it there.
No, it's not legal advice. It's not legal advice. It's advice.
Well, tell me who this advice is from.
Jesus.
Okay, Ken. Ken, I'm going to let you go, mate.
Love you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ken. Listen, I don't want you coming on the show anymore. I had a long think about it, and I chatted to Catherine about it, and I just don't want to let homophobia on the air, particularly with someone who will not listen to any challenge, to someone who hears things that aren't said. You say I belittle Christians. I don't belittle Christians at all. Put the phone down. I've got a lot of time for Christians. I've got a lot of time for people of faith. I've got a lot of time for humans is what I've got a lot of time for. So, Ken, we have talked about this, and we have decided that we really don't want you on the show anymore. So thank you for your time. I wish you joy. I wish you peace, and I wish you luck. But I think we're done. I think we're done. The job of this show, right, it's why we call it the late night alternative. The job of this show is to try and make things a little bit better. That's it. Try and make things a little bit better. It's vague. It's general. But that's it. We want to improve people's lives. If we can improve them a lot, great. I think we've improved them by introducing some people to the new Divine Comedy album. Some people wouldn't have known about that. Great. Maybe they'll go and buy that and then they've got an hour's worth of new music. Great. Maybe some people just enjoyed listening to Neil Hannon. Fantastic. Maybe some people hate the Divine Comedy and don't like listening to Neil Hannon. Well, great. We'll have something else for you in a little bit. That's the way this show, the way this show works. Ken is back. Ken? You're on the
I
air.
I forgive you, Ian. I forgive you, Ian. That's what I called up to tell
okay,
you.
Okay, I don't want you. Okay, Ken, that's great. Ken, you faded out. I'd love to talk yes, to you. You're just going to talk at me. And that's part of the problem, Ken. That's part of the problem. I don't forgive homophobia, I'm afraid. I can forgive people who realise that homophobia is wrong. I can forgive that and they make a change in their life. But I don't forgive homophobia. And the world is
I
too...
I forgive you.
Ken, okay, that's great. You do whatever you want. Say you're a free man. Maybe you're not. Put the phone down again. Okay. The job of this show is to make the show, make the world just like one degree better, like one grain of sand better. And I just worried that having, you know, constant homophobia that would, I just worried that it makes things worse. That's all. Yeah. That's all. So we've decided we're not having Ken on. Alan, you're banned for 2 weeks.
Bye.
Thank you very much indeed. There we go. There we go.
He took that rather well.
He took it very well. Just he's been asleep every time we've gone to him. Every time.
Yeah.
So he's banned for 2 weeks. Simple as. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344 499 1000. We've now sold 35 tickets for Dorset. Now it's looking good. Now it's looking good. 35 tickets for Dorset, Shaftesbury, and I believe that is happening on the 6th of July. Saturday, the 6th of July at 1:45 PM is when it's happening.
35. Wow. Okay, I'll ring ahead and get some emergency chairs.
Wowzers. This is absolutely great. I saw a great film today. Great film. I didn't mention it to Neil. Booksmart. You will love it, Catherine. And I was thinking, no spoilers, but it's a coming of age movie about two young girls. Have you seen it, Amy? Very funny. It's kind of like, it's sort of like a 21st century Pretty in Pink.
Uh-huh,
yeah, okay. There's that kind of vibe to it. There's that kind of vibe to it. And it's two young women leaving high school, and they've spent their whole life studying to get to the best colleges. And then they find out that everybody who hasn't studied and has been partying have also got to the best colleges, and they're furious. It's so funny. It's so fun. The first 5 minutes, I thought, oh, is this going to be too quirky? But actually, I embraced the quirkiness. It was very funny.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
We could be dreaming and meeting each other in our dreams.
On Talk Radio.
You can help as well, dear listener. Spread the word. You know, the figures ain't great for this show. I think we can turn it around. Tell people that we're funny again. We stop being as miserable as we are. A little bit miserable. But we stop being as miserable, and the fun, the Giggle Factory is open for funshine. We're taking funshine shekels at the Giggle Factory. we're taking dappy dollars. No, that doesn't sound so good. We're taking, ecstatic euros. Mm. We're taking flipping francs. We're taking the Deutschmark. Taking the Deutschmark. Yeah.
Et cetera.
0344-499-1000 is the phone number. Let's go to Raj. Big Raj.
Good evening, Ian and Catherine.
Roger.
I just thought I'd call in to share a little bit of good news.
Roger has finally realised he's not actually blind. He's come to terms with being a scammer, and he's going to serve the 18 months with grace and graciousness, and then he's going to carry on like a sighted person. Am I right?
Not quite.
You've completed Elite the video game.
Oh, that'll never be completed.
All right. I could complete it if I tried it, but okay.
It's so big.
Yeah, I'll complete it one day.
Right, as you've mentioned, I'm partially sighted. Well, not blind, but not far off on one eye.
Okay.
And I've mentioned on the show before that...
Now, hang on, there's an echo on your line. Stay there, Roger. Let me just try you... So we had this with Neil. Hang on a second. I'm just going to try and switch you to the other line. Because if it's echoey bollocks all night, well, I'm not taking any calls.
I thought I heard a bit of an echo.
That's better.
Oh, that's better.
Hey.
There's me riding the fader for a pop star and a benefit scrounger. Anyway, so let's go. There's enough of that joke. It's a tedious old joke.
And I've been struggling, you know, to find work. It's been nearly 3 years.
Yeah, I know. You've been applying for a lot of things, and you're getting a lot of knockbacks. What's going on?
Yeah, I applied for something about a week and a half ago. Got an email inviting me for a telephone interview it was yesterday.
Yeah.
I had the telephone interview this afternoon. Damn, I was nervous.
Yeah, I bet you were.
She said my lack of self-confidence did come through.
Uh-oh.
But it's something that they could work on.
Oh.
And I've been invited for an interview next week.
Yes, mate! Roger's gonna be a male escort, everybody! Dreams can come true!
Oh, I wish.
Hey, that's brilliant, man. So they do the first interview on the phone these days, do they?
Yeah. They do that a lot for call centres. This is just to see how you sound on the phone.
Okay.
Come across on the phone.
And the job is for a call centre, is it?
Yep.
And you're going in next week?
Going in next week.
Yes, man! Right, well, how can we help? What can we do? Do you want me to...
Should we phone you up?
All right, let's... Let's do it. Hang on a second. Right, hang on a second. We are in. Hang on a second.
Are they going to give you a script?
I know I'm going to get a few tests. I think there's going to be a mock call with a...
Oh.
Phone's going, Roger, better stop talking to your mates, better answer it.
I've just knocked my mobile off.
Better answer it, Roger!
Oh, you're a genie. You don't have phones like that in call centres, anymore.
I'm hearing a lot of excuses, but, you know, customer, I'd be thinking I'm not never going to get answered.
Answer the phone!
Oh, you're a swine, Ian.
They've rung off. You've just lost a sale.
It's not working in sales, so that's another. That's another.
It wasn't sales. It was the boss.
A bonus, because it's dealing with.
I don't want to hear about your bonus in the workplace. Right. Hello. Yes. You want to speak to Roger? I'll just pass you on to him now. Roger, it's for you. It's a lady.
Hello. Is that Roger?
Roger.
Hello. I'm not quite sure of what your role is, Roger. Could you just let me know for a second?
It's just customer service.
Okay. I would like you to service me, please, Roger.
Don't do this to me.
Is there a problem with that? What kind of services can you provide?
Well, I can
return your dresses if there's out wrong with them.
Oh, right, right. There's loads wrong with them. I bought them, and they're size 10s, but obviously your size 10s must be faulty in some way because don't appear to be able to do them up over my belly. So, do you do expansion packs for dresses?
Expansion.
Or do you do, like, belly belts that you can squash them down with?
Oh, God, I hope it's not like this on Wednesday.
How would you like me to proceed with these faulty dresses? Because obviously, you know, it's not me, obvs. It's not the pies. It's your frocks. So I'm very insulted by your dresses, by the way. So I have ripped them up a little bit, but can I send them back?
Oh, go on, seeing as it's you.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest, Roger. That was not great.
You do one.
That was cruel.
That was,
I hate you both.
No, this, mate, how can you hate us?
This is win-win.
We're helping you.
Luckily, I'm doing an interview skills course tomorrow morning. So,
well, you're gonna need it. You're actually gonna need it. Okay, well,
luckily for you, you have a delightful laugh, Roger.
Thank you, Catherine.
You might get you places.
That might get you through, but,
I was surprised.
Oh, Roger!
You better pick that up.
Phone's going.
It's better not be Rainbow George.
Hello, yeah, it's for you, Roger, it's a gentleman. Putting you through, caller.
1, 2.
Hello?
1, 2, testing.
Is that Nigel?
1, 2. Hello? Hello, are you?
Hello, Nigel.
Hello, who's that?
It's Roger.
Hello, Roger. I'll just turn my echo off. Hang on. Is that better?
Oh, that's much better. Oh, that was your echo.
Yeah, it's my other end, yeah.
I'm not sure whether I need to know about your other end, Nigel.
You listen to me often, Roger?
I've heard you on the radio for probably 20-odd years.
You must be tired.
Have you really? Like, yeah. On the Mike Graham show?
Yeah, I can remember when you used to, you know, ring the old talk radio.
Oh, yeah, Mike Graham is popular, isn't he, Mike Graham?
Yeah, and, he still is.
Roger from Bristol. Remember Roger from Bristol?
Oh, I remember listening to Roger from Bristol.
Yeah. I don't know what's happened to him, because I haven't heard from him for a long time.
Apparently his name wasn't Roger. He was from nowhere near Bristol.
Hey, is Rainbow George coming on tonight?
Bloody hope not.
Hang
on a second, Nigel. Just wait there, because we're trying to help Roger with his job. Roger, I think you're being too chatty with the callers. I think you need to really you need to be harder. Can you get hard for me, Roger?
No, I can't be hard on Nigel.
Roger, try and get hard for Nigel. You need to get hard for Nigel.
He's making him soft.
Yeah. Get hard with Nigel. Get hard. Right. So Nigel's there. Get hard, Roger, and then just get stuck into Nigel, all right?
I'm not sure of Nigel's type, to be honest.
If you don't like what he's saying, then you just bring him off.
What are you saying, Ian?
I'm saying I'm going to bring you off in a minute.
I'll serenade him a song.
Okay.
Yes, carry on.
No, when someone says, I'm going to serenade him a song, and the other person says, okay, that's then their cue for the first person to do the serenading.
Are you there, Roger?
Yes, I'm still here, Nigel.
Do
you like that song, I Miss You, by Miley Cyrus, that I sang for my mum? That's a nice number.
Yeah, I do.
Would you like me to do a bit for you?
Sure.
Just a little bit for you. A little bit of song.
Yeah, just do it. We've been saying for the last 30 seconds, just do it.
What do you want, begging? Oh, here we go.
I miss your smile, that I may shed a tear every once in a while. And even though it's different now, you're still here somehow. Now I won't let you go. I need you to know. I miss you, sha-la-la. I miss you, Roger. They used to call me your angel, call me your dreams, and now I'm living out my dreams. How I wish I could be everything that's happening for me. Yeah.
You should have brought him off ages ago.
Yeah,
Roger,
exactly.
Nigel, thank you very much indeed. 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
And well, here's the thing as well. Here's the thing that people need to accept. And they need to accept this. This is the theory I have about Shakespeare, okay? It's slightly controversial. He's rubbish.
No.
He's boring.
No, he's not.
Oh, you doth protesteth, mine lady. He's boring. What is this? A comedy or a tragedy? It's a tragedy. All right, wake me up when it's done. What is this? A comedy? Oh, this one's a comedy. All right, where are the laughs? Oh, you've had 20 in the first 5 minutes. Well, they weren't very funny. I didn't get them.
Have you ever seen one? Have you ever
seen Shakespeare? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. What do you think I'm? What do you think I'm? A Philistine? You think I'm an American?
Which one did you see?
I saw Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I've been
That's
in
a
Much
Ado. One.
I've been in Much Ado About
did
Nothing.
Did you watch it though? Then?
Did what?
Did you watch it though? Or were you just in it?
Are you ecked up? You got? Did you watch it? Yeah, watch it.
Ad hominem attack.
I had not. Whoa. Don't you dare call me an ad hominem. I respect whatever anybody's sexuality is, their gender. That is out of order. That is libel.
Distraction. Did you watch it or did you just learn the sounds that you were supposed to make?
No, I watched it. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I've been and seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been and seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen, like another one and it had. Oh, I saw, Uranus.
What?
I saw Uranus.
No.
With Charles Dance in it.
What?
Charles Dance was in Uranus.
No.
Yeah, he was. I saw Charles Dance. I went on a school trip to see Charles Dance in Uranus.
A school trip?
Yes. Charles Dance in Uranus. That's the play. It's a famous play. It's a famous play. Coriolanus. I'm so sorry. I saw Charles Dance in Coriolanus. I do apologise. That sounded vulgar and that was unnecessary and I apologise.
It sounded like there was an actor in my bottom and I didn't know about
I didn't even think of that. I didn't even think of that. That would be embarrassing.
Yeah.
But you got, what have you got to do to make it in showbiz, you know? I saw Charles Dance in Coriolanus. Boring. I saw like an all-black production of another Shakespeare play. It had a guy from EastEnders in it and Derek Griffiths. Boring. Boring.
It had all the components of being a winner, that one. I'm surprised.
It was boring. Here's the problem. I'm going to say that. Here's the problem. Shakespeare is dull. And this guy's going to agree with me. Good evening, Steve. You're live on the air.
I'm live on the air, am I?
Yes, you are, Steve. You're live on the radio right now.
Right. Could you tell me why a working man would ever think of voting Conservative, and especially for that man, Boris Johnson?
We're talking about Shakespeare not being very good.
Yes.
He's overrated, well, isn't he?
Shakespeare,
overrated.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
He's good, but overrated.
No,
yeah.
I don't think he's even good. I think he's boring. I can't understand it. The jokes are awful. He's not as good. I tell you what's better than Shakespeare. Mrs. Brown's Boys. Now, that is funny. That is funny, yes. Steve, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Because here's a bit of trivia about Mrs. Brown's Boys. I only learnt this the other day. You know Mrs. Brown?
Yes.
It's a fella.
Yes.
It's a fella. And that is genius. I did not know that. And I love it. You didn't know it?
No.
Yep. Mrs. Brown is played by a bloke.
Well,
that is brilliant.
It's funny you should mention that because in Shakespearean plays in those times, a lot of the men would be playing women.
Yeah, because they stole it from Mrs. Brown's Boys, obviously. So what I think we've established here, Steve, and I'm glad you're backing me up on this, is that A, Mrs. Brown is played by a man, and B, Mrs. Brown's Boys is infinitely better than Shakespeare. You agree with me, Steve?
Yeah, I do.
Thank you so much for
your
call, Steve. I really appreciate it. This is Talk Radio.
Late night conversation, wealth, losing sleep over it. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Good evening, Alistair.
Oh, evening Ian, evening Kath, how are you both?
Alistair, it's very nice to talk to you. Now, the last time we spoke
to you
was a few weeks ago when we were in Manchester and you phoned up.
Yes.
And we hadn't spoken to you for a while because we had a little, you know, little, we had words on the radio. And you phoned us up during the rabbit hole in Manchester and it was nice to hear your voice. It was even nicer to hear the words that you were 2 weeks, I think it was, sober at that point.
That's correct.
How's it going now?
Still sober.
Yes.
How long have we got under your belt?
We got 6 weeks.
Yeah! Hang on a minute, hang on a minute. Let me. We need a spontaneous celebration. Here we go. There we go. Here we go. You get 3 feeling hots. That's how excited we are. Well, one for every fortnight. Well done, man. Congratulations on 6 weeks.
Well, thank you very much. I've been going to 2 AA meetings a week.
Beautiful.
And you were absolutely right when you said to me, get to a meeting, man. And not only is it just the love that you actually feel in those meetings, but I've been reading the literature around it as well, and the 12 steps and this, that and the other. And it's starting to make me a better person, generally. It's absolutely superb stuff.
Got a nice little warm. Kath's misting up. Not exaggerating. Kath's misting up there. See a little tear.
Oh.
I've got a warm little tingle in my stomach, and I know that I've got a big grin on my face as well, actually. And I know that there'll be a lot of people listening, punching the air. It's not a done deal yet. It's not a done deal yet.
Not,
still very
well,
early
not.
Days. Here's the thing. I think the 12 steps are great, and I haven't done them for a while. And I've just done step two. I've got to read step one and two to my new sponsor. But I think everyone should do the 12 steps because it just helps you sort your life out.
Here's the thing. Russell Brand has written his kind of version of it, and it's applicable to everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a thing, you know, whether it's you feel miserable so you eat, or you drink too much wine, or you lash out at people, or you buy stuff you don't want. Everyone's got a thing, a kind of coping mechanism that actually could become a problem. And, you know, if you're honest with yourself, everyone could be just a little bit better. And I think that the 12 steps, there's something magical about them, but they seem, it's actually really simple. But you just got to do the work by the looks of it. And doing the work is the hard bit. And I'm really impressed. I'm thrilled to bits.
Thanks, Kath. I could really cry
because, you know, we knew that you had it in you, but it's bloody hard work. And I'm really impressed.
Dead thrilled, man. Dead thrilled. Congratulations.
Yeah, I've been chuckling away. By the way, to you talking about Shakespeare being boring, because I think you're right.
He's rubbish.
That's outrageous. Okay, I'll take everything back that I just said.
He's rubbish. Thou doth mine lady doth licketh my loveth pump.
What?
Well, it's all supposed to be filthy, but it's not
filthy.
There are
some filthy bits.
No, there's not.
Mm-hmm.
There's not. Show me your bottom. Do you know Bottom from A Midsummer Night's Dream?
I've heard of him.
Yeah. It's just... We get it. It was a long time ago. They were the first plays ever written, and first plays ever written and performed anywhere in the world.
No.
We get that. They're historical. But you know what? I would say the first Police Academy movie is not the best. I would actually say the best is Police Academy 6. Controversial. They got better as they went on, and then they went down again. So the first plays aren't going to be good. They're not going to be good. The first plays ever performed anywhere in the world, written by William Shakespeare. They're not going to be good plays, and they're not good plays. They're lousy plays, and that is fine to admit. Oh, something's old, so it's good. Well, do you know what? I didn't like Bruce Forsyth.
Oh.
And he was old. Didn't think
I
was
going to argue with you, but I didn't.
I always
like
found them a bit dense, really, and I couldn't really understand.
Please don't call Bruce Forsyth dense.
Shakespeare.
I'm so sorry. Because I was going to say it's a bit too soon to be slagging off Forsyth in that such a crude term.
I mean, we understand that maybe it's not your style of entertainment,
no,
but you know, there's no need to get personal about it.
Can I mention someone else in quick gear change?
Yeah, of course.
Have you heard of? I've read this in a Guardian article today.
Okay.
About a Steven Spielberg series that's coming out, I think, in 2020, and apparently it's a horror thing.
Oh, anthology series, yeah.
And it's called After Dark.
Ooh.
And apparently it's going to be only on a platform that you can watch it after dark.
Ooh, that's
scary. To make it more scary.
Oh, is it a bit blue? Is it a blue one?
Horror. Horror Bluey.
I'd watch a Horror Bluey.
Well, it was really funny the way the Guardian writer had written it, because it was sort of taking the mickey a bit, saying, well, maybe they'll get a programme which is, like, good for first thing in the morning.
Oh.
Or, you know, on a Thursday afternoon. So it was really taking the mickey.
Well, the thing for a Thursday afternoon is Doctors. That's a great, the best thing to watch in the afternoon. But how will they know it's dark? You could just close the curtains.
Well, apparently you put this app goes on your phone. Obviously your phone's got a clock on it. And it will only work after dark.
Spielberg's one of the worst human beings this planet has ever created. Name one good film Steven Spielberg has done. One.
I can't remember the name of it. It's just terrible.
That's how boring it was.
The one about the Jews.
The one about the Jews. You mean Schindler's List?
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to put that to one side, right? Even though it's all black and white and we've got colour now, so. But he's not done one good film. Spielberg is the modern-day Shakespeare in that he's dense. He's dense and he's boring and he's overrated.
Overblown, agreed.
Thank you very much. Alistair, it's great to hear from you. Looking forward to more calls. Let's go to Ray. Good evening, Ray.
Good evening.
Good evening, Ray. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I was going to talk about something else, but you brought it up, so I've now got to discuss it. Shakespeare is boring. As is Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Well, no, Mrs. Brown's Boys. No, it's not a load of rubbish. You can't just come on. Here's the thing. I hate these sweeping statements. Mrs. Brown's Boys is rubbish.
Yeah, Shakespeare is terrible.
Well, Shakespeare is rubbish, no. Right? Yeah, but he's terrible.
No.
But the thing about Mrs. Brown's Boys is you can't just do a sweeping statement about Mrs. Brown's Boys, because there's so many different series of it. There's Christmas specials, there's live shows. It's more than just one thing. So I'm not going to allow you, Ray, to do a sweeping statement about something as all-encompassing. It encompasses comedy, that is funny, tragedy, that is funny, bloke playing a woman, which is always funny, and there's some great actors in it.
And then
Shakespeare hasn't got that.
I was going to say, that sounds exactly like Shakespeare.
No.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
No, Shakespeare hasn't got any of that in.
Yeah.
It
still has. Right. Hang on, Ray, you were saying that Shakespeare was rubbish.
Right,
we'll get this stop there. Right,
so you're judging something that was just popular humour. You're being a snob, actually, because Shakespeare was writing that for the masses. He wasn't writing it for you to sit there your high horse and say it was boring.
Hang on a minute. Don't quote Shakespeare at me. I'm not on my high horse.
You were supposed to go there and get trolleyed and do a wee in the pit while you were watching it.
Here's the thing, right? Shakespeare wrote for the masses, did he? What channel was it on? Sorry, it was in the Globe Theatre. Oh, right, so what audience does that hold? Oh, sorry, it holds about 150. The masses, you say? You haven't got a clue, mate. Bring me your huddled masses. Shut up. Bring me your huddled masses, but only if they be 150. No, I want it on BBC One.
Bring me your huddled masses is Lady Liberty. What are you on about?
Well, it's one of his plays, exactly. I'm quoting one of his plays. I'm cleverer than you think.
What?
Yes, Ray, thank you for backing me up there.
Catherine?
Sorry, I can't hear you. You're so muffled.
I'll let you choose any Shakespeare play.
I'm getting every third word.
Life of Brian. Which is funny.
Have you finished talking? I'm just hearing...
Right, thank you, Ray. I apologise for that. That was out of order. You have just sunk to a very low level.
Thank you.
You've just literally put your fingers on your lips and gone... That is the level we've sunk to now.
It's entertainment for the masses. The bard would be proud.
Who's bard?
Oh, God.
Who have you barred now? Without telling me. No. You're not barred Ray. I'm not barred Ray. Ray's welcome to call in any time he wants. He's not barred.
Well, you say welcome.
Well, not welcome. It's Philip. But he's not barred. I barred people.
Oh, yeah?
I barred you in a minute.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds like a threat. I feel threatened.
Charles dancing your anus. Let's go to, slightly anonymous secret drug addict.
Yes, mate.
How's it going? You good?
Yeah, very, very good.
There is a voice I didn't expect.
You thought it was going to be Butch.
Yeah.
Cockney, gangland, ex-cocaine dealer.
Yeah, I did. But it's very nice to hear it. Thanks for giving us a ring.
You're welcome. Yeah, sad it's not that exciting, do you know what I mean?
It is exciting. And you've got, you're marking a big birthday.
I am. I feel a bit bad because I was literally about to call in when the fella before me called in and announced he was like a couple of weeks sober.
Yeah, 6 weeks, and man. Six weeks.
Now I feel like a dick sort of story topping him, but I'm 14 years today.
Yes! So
Round
of applause.
Give him the celebration.
Hang on a minute. We've got to celebrate. This does not follow the NA literature, but. hang on a minute. There we go. Well done. You get a feeling hot, man. Hey, congratulations.
And I'm a first-time caller, so do I get the bell?
Oh, flipping.
Get the bell out quick.
Hang on a minute.
We weren't expecting any first-timers tonight.
There you go. hey, that's brilliant news, man. Congratulations. Now, here's the thing. Can I be honest, right?
Yeah.
I feel jealous when I hear that. I feel jealous because I should be 14. Yeah, and like, this isn't any way belittling your achievement at all. This is my knee-jerk thing. We're talking a lot recently about knee-jerks and first thoughts and how, as long as you get to the second thought, the first one doesn't really count. But there's a bit of me, even though I'm 15 months now, that thinks
fantastic.
I should. Which is fantastic. But because I had a little 3-month, I just went and did some more studying. I'm a bit of me going, oh man, 14 years. It doesn't matter though. I'm just sharing that because I know you'll get it, SDA.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think though, it's better to have 15 months of good recovery than, years of sort of sitting in the pain.
The last couple of years.
Do you know what I mean?
The last couple of years I should have known where it was going. I should have picked up signals. 14 years, do you want to share with people how you do it? Because we get a lot of people listening who are struggling. Alistair, who you just heard, has been struggling for a long, long time. I think pretty much since day one of us doing this show 3 years ago. And he's finally, not finally. He's always been making progress, and that progress has led him to 6 weeks sober now.
6 weeks.
You do it through meetings?
Yeah, I've done lots of stuff over the years, from sort of, cognitive therapy to, local drug services and all that kind of stuff, auricular therapy, acupuncture, all the kind of stuff they throw at you.
Yeah.
But 12 step recovery in Narcotics Anonymous was the one thing for me, I suppose, that kind of it all fell into place, and I understood what being an addict meant, and how to sort of navigate my way out.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I was enjoying that. I was enjoying that too much. I do apologise.
So smooth.
What are you doing?
I'm just grooving smoothly.
Why are you pushing your chest out and waggling your head?
Because I feel like I'm on board something big and expensive. I know that feeling.
Oh God, please, not at this. Early set. Katie Puckrick is here.
Hello.
If you were listening last week, we trialed a new feature where the guest who is coming comes in a week before they're coming in.
It's like pre-drinking.
Exactly.
We called it Peep at Puckrick.
Yeah, we've dropped that feature. The teasing of the guest a week ahead, it didn't work. It was ahead of its time. But Katie, I'm Ian Lee. This is, I'm so sorry, I've forgotten your name.
Your boss.
Oh.
Catherine Boyle.
That's the one. All right. I just want to say to everyone here, the assembled masses,
great.
I think the show has been a little bit too below the belt recently, a little bit too scatological, a little bit lavatorial, a little bit sexual innuendo, sometimes not even innuendo, explicit sexual imagery.
So you're involving back bottom and front bottom in this below the belt scenario.
Yes, if we just establish
and taint. I think the first time I came on the show, we talked about taint.
This is exactly, and those are the kind of areas I would like to avoid, if that's possible, please.
I think those are the areas that are quite
outrageous,
integral to enjoyment.
0344. Have you seen Booksmart?
No, I want to see it.
Oh, I saw it the other day, man. Have you gone to see it yet?
No, I haven't gone to see it yet.
Okay, you should go and see it.
I went to see Katie's Yacht Rock doc instead.
Okay, yachtrock.com. Booksmart is funny. Oh, it's funny. And just the talk of those downstairs areas, there's a very funny scene where those areas are involved.
It's young ladies exploring these nooks and crannies
there's a bit
verbally.
Of that. That hole that you think you've got, it's not what you think it is. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. There's a spoiler for you there. It's a very, very funny film.
I have more than one hole, so I better go see that film and
I think
identify.
You'll need, it will clear a few things up for you.
Yeah, it's anatomically.
Katie Puckrick is here. Now, last week, you weren't allowed to tell us what you were coming in for.
I didn't want to blow my wad.
Well, okay. But now you can tell us?
Yes! So here's what's going on. And the opening song, What a Fool Believes, by Doobie Brothers, circa 1976, is a clue, because starting tomorrow night on BBC4 at 9 p.m. is the first episode of my Yacht Rock two-parter.
Yes!
Roar!
Yes. Now, for those who don't know, and I know this is a tough question, but if you can do it, like, quickly.
Yes.
What is Yacht Rock?
Yacht Rock is a fun and affectionate and cheeky little term that sums up that blue-eyed soul that came from the west coast of America between 1976 and 1986, approximately, played by studio musicians and key players along the lines of Doobie Brothers, Michael McDonald, Steely Dan, Hall & Oates. And the reason why all this music is kind of grouped together, even though none of these artists set out to make something called Yacht Rock. It was just something that was named after the fact, much like Northern Soul, in fact. But it really is music that summed up what was going on in America at the time, which was just aspirational, escapist. There were a lot of problems going on in culture, society, you know, like nowadays.
Yeah.
And people just want to get in their muscle cars and crank out that feel-good music that makes you feel like you are escaping on a yacht. So you have musicians like Christopher Cross, Toto, especially when you get into the 80s, you have a lot of black artists like George Benson, Pointer Sisters, Jones Girls, Jeffrey Osborne, Radio, Commodores, Lionel Richie. But all of this music shares this. It's very plush and lush.
It's kind of perfect.
It's very perfect. Yeah, it's a high-level studio musicianship. And extremely uncool. It's not cool at all. And that's kind of the charm, is kind of considered music that your parents listened to when they were organizing their key parties. But it was actually the stuff that was sailing out of the FM airwaves in the late 70s.
Well, the housewives had the money, didn't they? So they were aiming it at your mum.
Yes. Yes. Blame the moms. Blame those horny mothers. And in fact, a lot of the charm of Yacht Rock is sensitive guys bearing their soul. What a Fool Believes. You know, you hear Michael McDonald there singing about, you know, can he get it back together with this lady? The lady doesn't even know he exists. So these are guys who are you know, being sensitive for the first time in their life. And that's an interesting aspect of this sound as well. Not a lot of women doing it. Women are the muses. They're being sung about. But if you were a Linda Ronstadt, Joni Mitchell, or Bonnie Raitt at that time, I think you had bigger fish to fry. I mean, Yacht Rock is kind of a male weekend in a hammock fantasy.
By the way, you can call in and speak to Katie, 0344-499-1000 about this. If you just want to call in for, you know, for a chat and the usual nonsense, you're very, very welcome to. Were there any women Yacht Rock groups?
Well, not so much Yacht Rock groups. What you find is, aside from the major players like your Totos and your Steely Dans and your Doobie Brothers, Yacht Rock was more of a itinerant category where people might have, in the course of an album, they might have one or two Yacht Rock songs. So women, that's typically, if you do hear like Carly Simon, there's actually a couple of Fleetwood Mac songs that dip into the yacht category. They have to be very smooth, you know. If it goes into story songs, like the Pina Colada song by Rupert Holmes, people go, well, that's got to be Yacht Rock. Well, technically, I guess it could. It's more Marina Rock. But
Marina.
But they, you know, it's too kind of hokey with a punchline. So it has to.
Yeah, yeah.
And another important aspect for me, anyway, is that to counterpoint this perfection of the music and the sound and the production, it's really integral to have that wistfulness, the melancholy, the ache of longing, and that's in a lot of the music. Yeah. And I think that is the bitterness to the sweetness, and that makes it
palatable and timeless. It's very much adult music. It's not greasy kid stuff.
Have you seen, sorry, I'm thinking of Michael McDonald. Remember the SCTV sketch I showed you? There's a brilliant SCTV sketch. It's Rick Moranis as Michael McDonald, and it's him as I think it's called the best backing singer in the world, and it's him driving down the freeway, and he runs into the studio, puts the headphones on just in time to sing his backing
vocals. I've seen it. You've just reminded me. Yeah, it's great. And then back into the car.
And then just goes. He's done. We've got Daniel on the line. Shows are on. They start tomorrow. I think we're gonna.
Yeah. So there's two episodes. So episode one, all about the 70s, happens tomorrow night at 9, and then the next week, Friday the 21st, 9 o'clock again, about the 80s.
We're gonna plug these. These are well worth watching. I've seen literally 30 minutes of the first one because Katie decided to send it to us today.
I'm sorry.
Instead of last week, but it was good. I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I've got that to watch. Daniel's called in though. Good evening, Daniel.
Hello.
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 Yep.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. That's why we're saying hello when you say hello, or shortly thereafter.
Sorry.
How can we help you? Okay, they've gone. They're well done. They just wanted to see that it worked. We haven't had a kid phone in for a long time.
There was a lot of giggling there.
There was giggling. I hope this wasn't their one call. You know, they're locked under the stairs somewhere. And this was the one call.
It's a shooter. There's a shooter.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a quick break. Then we're gonna come back and talk some more about this. If you want to talk to Katie about Yacht Rock or anything, you can. And if you just want to phone in and do your usual nonsense, you'd be very, very welcome. If you saw the fast eating program that was on, the Super Eaters that was on just before this, we watched a bit of it. It was filthy. It was insane. I think I could do some of it. There was a guy that was going to have a fried breakfast, a roast dinner, and 15 big sandwiches, all under 30 minutes.
Incredible.
And I think, yeah, amazing
scenes.
It made
me feel sick just watching it.
No, it made me feel hungry. 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. You can give us a call, dear listener. That'll be very nice. Catherine Boyle is here.
Word.
Katie Puckrick is here, who is on the word. That's clever. But one thing I've got, you tweeted.
Yeah.
Join us tonight when we are joined by my friend. Yeah. These are your words. My friend, Katie Puckrick.
Yeah. She's put in the hours, the friendship hours.
We just went to the loo and we were still talking throughout the process.
I will go to the loo with Katie.
Well, until you've done that.
I will take a dump next to Katie if that's what it takes. But I don't need to put in the hours because we've both been on television, so instantly.
Oh, I see. We're showbiz friends.
Well, but I would say more than showbiz friends. But and I don't mean that way. We're not going to get married or anything. Although it could raise both our profiles, could be great for our careers.
Very strategic. I like your style.
But I personally, and I'm saying this, choose discomfort over resentment. I personally found that tweet. Personally upsetting and insulting.
Oh, God, you're really inserting yourself into a narrative that has nothing to do with you.
Exactly, but it should do. And I'm glad you agree with me, Katie. There we go. I'm glad you agree with me, you see?
But you're my best friend.
So,
be happy with that.
I don't know if I am, actually.
So what you're saying is that Catherine is obliged to always include you in...
I have to share all my friends.
You have to share relationships. She didn't say that we weren't friends, you and I. She was just saying her friend. And it was her tweet from her personal account.
Yeah.
Atting me and the
radio station. Well, I mentioned you, so yeah, you're welcome.
Can I ask you a question, Katie? Yes.
Who do you like best?
I'm is asking Katie a question. Ask? No, I'm not going to ask that, actually, because I wouldn't put her on the spot like that, because she's talent.
It wouldn't be a spot.
Look at me, Catherine, while I ask Katie a question. Katie, are you my friend?
I'm confused by the body language, because you're not looking at me.
No, because I want to get one over on her. All right, I'll look at you if it's so important.
I'm really thrown by this pantomime.
Katie, are you my friend? Are we friends?
Are we friends? Yeah.
Okay, do you feel better now?
I would like you to delete that tweet.
Well, it's done its job now. I can... dear. I can easily do that.
Okay, well, that's. I think that's hurtful. So when did you... how long ago did you make this? Was this a while ago?
Yeah, it was. It was last August.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's been sat there for a long time.
Well, it's been being honed and crafted, and it finally was finished in December.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had to wait for yacht season to come upon us again. But, yeah, I had a lovely week in on the beach, Pacific Ocean, and in Santa Monica and Marina Del Rey and Venice Beach in California. And actually, that was kind of interesting because you look at the dock and you think, well, she's living the life. Look at her rollerblading. She's swanning around on a yacht and getting sunburned. Well, there's freaky people tripping around, tweaking out behind her, and that's all what's going on. But the other thing is, it was the first time I had been back to L.A. where I lived in another life when I was married. It was the first time I'd seen my husband, ex-husband, in 3 years. So it had this, like, extra, you know, like, by day, fun and happy, you know, talking about yacht. And by night, meeting up with somebody that I used to have a lot in common with.
Wow.
And it wasn't unpleasant, but, you know, it was a shifted paradigm, for sure.
And also, as well, I've done... a week is quite a long time to be out for a shoot like that. I've done those kind of shoots where you're just busy all the time. You film the links on one. Yeah, you film the links on one, and you do alternates, and maybe we could tweet. Then you're driving for an hour to the next place.
Huge,
and
it's long traveling. Yeah,
it looks glamorous.
Yeah, it is very glamorous. And there's some lovely interiors shot in one of my super A-lister showbiz friend's home, and I'm under oath not to say who it is, but when you look at it, when you see me lounging on that bright yellow chaise longue, you can think to yourself, which A-lister?
Oh.
Two A-listers, a couple.
Oh.
Yeah. I know because I'm Katie Pockrick's friend.
Oh, I know as well. I know as well.
Do you?
I could guess. Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Yeah, bingo.
Is it?
No.
Oh, okay. My ex-wife is half Greek, and they've got, like, a holiday home in Zakynthos, and their friends, her best friend, has got a holiday home on another Greek island. I can't think which one it is. And I went over there once, and they were talking about how there's this lovely American... this lovely American couple had come for dinner, and they were talking about them, and they said, yeah, so it was... do you remember when Kurt and Goldie came over? I went, whoa, 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 whoa. This isn't Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, is it? He said, yeah, that's it, the actors. Do you know them? I said, yeah, of course I bloody know them. Two of the biggest stars in the world. They got a home on this island, and they were going over to this house for just, like, lunch and stuff.
With just local yokels
thing? Just hanging out.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Well, that's what, you know, Madonna is living in one of her many homes. She's got a home in Lisbon, and I was reading an interview with her where she said, I have no friends there, and I keep trying to make friends, and no one will be friends with me, and it's really lonely living in Lisbon. So, yeah, obviously, Kurt and Goldie are much more proactive when they're out in Greece.
Rihanna lives in London, doesn't she?
I just heard that.
Yeah, she hasn't called me. Has she called you?
No.
She's called me.
She?
No. but like, £16,000 a month rent...
Oh.
Yeah, but she's just become a billionaire, hasn't she?
Really? Is she? Really?
Yeah, she's like the wealthiest female singer at the moment.
More than Beyonce?
Yeah.
More than Adele?
Yeah.
Wow.
The wealthiest.
Because she does
investments.
Makeup, mm-hmm. She has all these business.
Fenty Beauty and all that stuff.
Sidelines.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And where does she live? Let's go visit her. £16,000 a month.
We'll find it. There can't be that many places in London.
Notting Hill? Is it like Notting Hill or Holland Park?
I think
it's
like a mansion. Notting Hill's kind of townhouses, isn't it?
How about Holland Park? That's mansion-y. That's where Elton has one of his pads.
We have a bloke telling you where you've gone wrong in your documentary, despite not actually having seen it.
Ding that bell. I love it. We were just talking about this before the show.
Blokes taking over music and telling, particularly historical music, and telling everyone else, especially women, why they're wrong, what the correct songs to like are, and why.
Bearing in mind, this is music that Katie grew up with as an American on the spot at the time.
Peter Lewis says, yacht rock, No mention of Ricky Lee Jones, Little Feat, or Ry Cooder?
Oh, yeah, that's okay. I have an answer for what's this fellow's name?
Peter Loser, I'm going to call him from now. Peter Lewis.
No, Peter, yeah, those are great selections. The first thing to remember is that Yacht Rock is just pretend. I mean, it's like, it's not a real thing at all. It's just something, the term itself actually happened because there was a YouTube series that started in 2005.
Yes, I saw some of that.
Yeah, it's just totally funny and silly, and it's very tongue-in-cheek.
Is that where the term comes from?
Yeah, those guys.
I didn't realize.
Yeah. So there's a group of wiseacres in L.A., loved this music and thought, wouldn't it be a funny concept if Loggins and Messina are fighting Hall & Oates in this kind of street battle behind the dumpsters, behind the 7-Eleven. And so it was kind of fan fiction writ large. And so, yeah, so it was kind of a jokey name. And then it was just a way to say, this is a grouping of music that share certain characteristics. But he sang Little Feat. Did he say Bonnie Raitt?
Little Feat, Ricky Lee Jones, and Ry Cooder.
Ry Cooder. Okay, so what I would say is definitely there's some elements of Ricky Lee Jones, some of her songs. Like, this is the case of the day-laboring Yacht Rocker, where it's like maybe a song or two from the album. Little Feat, definitely from that West Coast Laurel Canyon scene. And they played, those guys played on a lot of each other's records. But they're a little more rednecky, so they're a little more down-to-earth. And Ry Cooder, I think he's a little more of an iconoclast. But you can make a case. That's the thing. You can twist this thing into a pretzel.
I
think we're all right.
No one's
wrong.
I'm happy to say when I don't know things and I learn things, and I learned something there in your little thing, and I've just Googled it to think, she just made that come. Oh, no, it's true. Ricky Lee Jones is a woman.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I just thought...
Chucky's in Love. So that's the song that people...
I don't know that song.
Chucky's in Love. You don't know that song? So that's a real...
I know that one.
Yeah.
I don't know that. Isn't that terrible? I thought... I always assumed that Ricky Lee Jones was like some old...
She was Tom Waits' girlfriend.
Right. I can see her now, but I thought he was some old rocker from the 50s.
Yeah.
One of those sort of smooth American, like
Jerry Lee Lewis.
No, smoother than that. Not quite Fabian, the Frankie Avalon kind of.
Oh, okay, so more like a Beach Blanket Bingo movie.
Yeah. But it's a woman.
But all those, Little Feat and Ricky Lee Jones, I'm sure they shared drug dealers with Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan and Little River Band, although they were from Australia, so probably hard to share.
You have to be American to be.
No, you don't have to be American. That's it. And that's the other thing is just because the sound was so prevalent, that kind of very smooth sound, white guys aping black singing style. Actually, I think the music math on Yacht Rock is music math involved. It's soft rock plus jazz equals Yacht Rock.
Okay, yeah.
So it's very mellow. It's very tranquil. Sometimes it can be dynamic. I mean, my goodness, you get to Toto and you get to Rosanna, Africa. Those are quite surging and burn and yearning. But in Britain, there are a lot of really fine Yacht Rockers. You've got... trying to think of a Climax Blues Band.
Right.
They're from the Midlands, heavy on the cowbell, but they were definitely Yacht Rockers. Leo Sayer had some very reasonable Yacht Rock songs, and Robert Palmer, very smooth. I mean, if you were a musician at the top of your game by the mid to the late 70s, you were exposed to those influences, and if you were a bit soul-y, if you were rolled in the soul mold, that's the kind of material that you were playing with.
Leo Sayer was big in the States for a bit, wasn't he?
Yeah, he, you know I can dance, you know I can dance. And that was the big hit.
Because he's kind of a joke over here now, which is a shame. Because he had a couple of great songs.
Good.
But I'm sure I read he played Madison Square Garden once.
Yeah, he was really big in the mid-70s. And in fact, I've just only recently discovered a fantastic... I've got my Yacht Rock list here of material. Can't find it right now. But because, again, he'd really established himself by the mid-70s, he was working with all of those same writers and musicians that made, you know, shared the DNA, this yacht DNA.
Let's go to Alistair. Alistair has called in. Good evening, Alistair. Oh, hang on a minute. So I've got the, my fault, guys. It's my fault, please. Everyone.
Hello.
Everyone just cool out. Yes, Alistair.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, I had to call. I wasn't originally going to call, but with Katie on, I absolutely adore Katie. As you remember, she was my favourite presenter on The Word.
Well, thank you.
And I'm very interested about this show, this Yacht Rock thing.
Yeah.
Where can I catch it?
You can catch it tomorrow night on BBC4 at 9 p.m. And then the next week, the next Friday, same time, same place.
Oh, and then it'll be on the iPlayer, obviously,
yeah,
as
it'll
well.
Yeah, it'll live there for a good while.
Yeah, so you can watch it online, Alistair.
Oh, excellent. That's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, so just come back from a meeting. $1 million.
Alistair's been having a little bit of trouble with the old booze recently.
Oh.
But what are we now? Are we 6 weeks?
6 weeks now, mate.
Yeah, yes, that's great.
Well done. That's brilliant.
Yes.
And I got my month token today.
There you go.
Well done.
That's brilliant.
So I've got two of them now. So that's good.
Here's the thing. I've never felt worse coming out of a meeting. The worst is I felt the same. But generally, I feel at least a little bit better coming out. So they're always worth doing.
Absolutely.
Nice one, man.
Anyway, thanks ever so much, and I'll give you a rest now.
Thank you very much indeed. There we go.
Thanks.
Alistair is a story of triumph, because we've had a little bit of history with Alistair.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know, when he's drunk, he likes to chuck that C-bomb out.
Oh.
But he's turning it around, which is amazing to see.
Yeah.
We've got, let's go here. We've got Lavinia. Good evening, Lavinia.
Good evening, Ian, and also good evening, Catherine.
Hello.
And we've also got Katie Puckrick here.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening to you all.
Good evening to everybody, one and all, said Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
What can we do for you, Lavinia?
Well, it was on my mind. It's been on my mind for a couple of days now, Ian, right?
Yes.
Well, what it is actually to do with Boris. Boris Johnson. What I want to say is that I would like to
jump all over him and kiss him all over. That's what I want to do.
Well, more than that, I would like here to make a prediction.
Yes,
and the prediction is that everybody thinks he's got it. I would like to think he's got it, but there's a saying, Ian. You have to walk the walk and talk the talk.
That's true. It's a good saying.
Right.
What does that mean? What does that mean in this instance?
Well, what I like to think that he's got everything. He's got the walk and the talk. But I feel in my heart of my heart that he has the walk, but he doesn't have the
talk. Okay. Well, I think he's got the talk, but I think he's lacking serious walk.
Well, maybe so, but I also maybe think to myself, he's also lacking other things as well.
For example?
He sort of needs a good haircut, and also, lovely, needs to go on a diet.
No, he doesn't. We don't worry about what size people are. Don't worry about that. Here's the thing, Lavinia.
Yeah, go on.
Why? Now, I don't believe you phoned up, really, to talk about that.
Well, what do you think I phoned up for, then?
Because here's the thing. We're not... Are you listening to the show?
Yes, my lovely,
right.
I am now.
We're not talking about Boris.
Well, everyone's
been talking about him all day, last couple of days.
Yeah.
Boris Johnson.
Yeah,
I must call him Boris Johnson. Excuse me, Boris Johnson. And he's boring, right? He's boring.
He is,
The whole thing, the whole conversation's boring. So I'm just feeling that maybe you called in... for something else.
Maybe you're right, Ian. Maybe you're right.
Can I ask a question? And if I'm on the nose, you can tell me. And if I'm not, you can tell me.
Yeah,
are you calling in at 10:30 on a Thursday night just because you're feeling a little bit lonely?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Ian.
Yeah.
And also Catherine.
And Katie.
And also to other people.
That's you.
That you have been on my mind for the last week.
Why have I been on your mind?
Because I've been also listening to you you know, little bits here and there and everywhere in the evening.
Yeah.
And I think it was the other night you was talking to James. Is it James again? You was talking to James late in the evening.
Could have been, yeah.
Same James. And you was making me laugh, actually, and I wanted to phone then.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, I just picked up the phone and I thought, no, I want to speak to them. It was an excuse, actually. I'll be honest with you.
Now, here's the thing, Lavinia.
You're right.
You listen to this show, you don't need an excuse.
No, you're not. I know that, but I just want something to just to in tune with you.
Well, but just for that, I'm saying, I just fancy a chat for a few minutes. Would that be all right?
Okay,
don't phone up about Boris Johnson and the Tory leadership. Who cares? Who cares about that? It's boring.
No, right. By the way, Ian.
Hello.
Did you do your thing, you know, like a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago? I mean, it was some time ago. You was talking about... you had a thing in your head. It was really late at night, and you were saying you're going to think about it. It's actually to do with the environment, sort of cleaning up.
We were talking about maybe doing like a big clean up somewhere, and then just saying to everyone, we're going to be at such and such a place with a load of bin bags and marigolds, and if you want to come along, then come along, and we'll clean somewhere.
Did it happen?
No, it didn't happen. I just don't quite know where to go and do it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We'll let you know, Lavinia.
Okay. Well, let me know. And also, King in tune and just carry on, Ian. Catherine, because all I can say, and I have to say this before I go.
Yes.
You are
hot.
Full of energy and very hot. Hot in the city tonight.
Thank you very much, Lavinia. There we go. We got there. Some Billy Idol could be considered yacht rock. Is it a bit too aggressive? A bit too punchy?
No, a yacht is a broad church, but that is...
That's too, okay.
That's a priest too far.
I would thoroughly recommend listening to Billy Idol reading his autobiography.
Oh, God, you'll never forget it. What?
He talks like this all the way through it and tells you all about these. He tells you these stories that if you replace the voice with the 12-year-old boys, it would still work. Like, so, yeah, she was all over me. And
just all these stories, like boasty stories.
Yeah, stewardess went into the toilets and I looked and she put her head out and beckoned me over. I went in there like a hungry dog. The bit that I won't repeat is though.
I nearly broke my wrist.
The bit where he nearly broke his wrist. She was all. Anyway, I'm coming. Let's go to Diana. Good evening, Diana.
Good evening, Ian, Kath, and Katie.
Hi, Diana. What can we do for you tonight?
Really enjoying your yacht rock discussion.
Oh, good. Thank goodness. I started to hear my voice just echoing and clanging in my ears, thinking that maybe I was just speaking to an audience of myself. Right. So thank you.
I mean, Ian comes up with a lot of really good music on the show.
Oh,
yes,
of all different types, and still people moan, don't they? But
screw those losers. Yeah. Who cares?
Well, I've got one or two that you might
go on. Be
my favourites. You know, I like Manhattan Transfer.
Oh yeah.
They used to scare me as a kid.
What, the tight harmonies?
The Jean
L'amour.
Honestly, as a child, I must have been about eight when that. About eight, and it used to terrify me.
Why? That's quite aggressive. Is it sinister?
It was dark. In the same way that that Talking Head song, and you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. God, that I heard that in the dark room as a kid, and I was petrified by that.
Like an angry preacher coming out of the radio at you,
and this kind of stuttering, and then this isn't a song. What is this? Why is it? And you may ask yourself, this is not my beautiful wife. Yeah. What is going on?
Where is it? That's a mashup waiting to be had.
Terrifying mashup. Oh, go on, give us another one, Diana.
I'm a big fan of the Captain and Tennille.
Oh, love will keep us together.
And they're probably the kings and queens.
Captain passed away very recently, about six months ago, I think.
Daryl Dragon.
Was in the Beach Boys for a while.
Yeah. And so was she. She sang with the Beach Boys.
Did she?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also,
some of Steely Dan stuff.
Oh, yes.
Hall & Oates. And one that you might not know, Bertie Higgins, Casablanca.
No, I don't know.
Dirty Higgins.
Bertie Higgins.
Hang on a second.
Bertie might be dirty. I'm just jotting this
hang
down.
Hang on a minute. Well, let's have a listen. Oh, he looks. Oh, he. Oh, that's yeah. him. That's him 10 years ago. Wow. Okay. Let's have a little listen.
So,
let's see if we can find some Bertie Higgins and Casablanca. I've not heard this. It's, oh, here we go.
Sounding good?
It's in the right yeah. place so yeah. far.
It's got your Fender Rhodes and your shimmering chimes.
I fell in love with you watching Casablanca.
Oh! What a lyric!
Back room, this is a little soft rock, though. I'd say it's, yeah. it's a, it maybe gets going after a while.
Let's jump forward. Let's see, because
oh yeah, there you go.
It doesn't sound like English is his first language. You know, it's that kind of slight hesitancy around...
because he's filled with passion.
He's filled with passion.
Finding it hard to speak.
Diana, thank you very much. 0344-499-1000.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344-499-1000. We're going to do. But it's not swift eating.
No.
Speed.
Swift boating.
Swift boating. No, the food guy.
Yeah, Battle of the Super Eaters.
That's it.
Cram facing.
My cram facing. My boys' favorite program when they come and stay with me. They're 7 and 9. Is and we discovered it by accident. Man versus food.
Oh.
And it's this guy. It was one guy doing the first series. We preferred him, Adam. But then. It was making him really, really ill, so he left, and there's another guy. And he goes, you know these, restaurants all over America? There are some in the UK, but
what,
not many.
All you can eat? Like, smorgasbord?
Not all you can eat, but they'll have, like, a food challenge. You
oh,
have to eat,
yeah,
you know, a £5 burrito.
And then it's free, or something.
Yeah, £5 burrito in 20 minutes. Yeah. That was one of them.
You get a T-shirt, and they ring a bell and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and the boys love it, and it's fun. And we've done, like, 5 or 6 in a day once, just watching them back
yeah.
to back. But I do think, am I setting them up for some kind of, not to make light of it, some kind of eating, you know, this is not normal behavior to watch a man.
No, it's disordered eating. It is strange because, yeah, I had a bout when I was a teenager of doing a lot of just kind of stress eating that turned into a little bit of binging. It was fun at the time, but I tell you what, I had back surgery and I was in a plaster body cast for 9 months. So that put pay to my, you know, eating 12 Krispy Kreme donuts on the go. But, I definitely remember getting the idea from other friends who had eating disorders
right.
and watching them do it and thinking, oh, I want to do that too. And it's such a weird thing to decide to do. So, yeah, there could be something in that, or it could just be a freak show, and that's why your kids are liking
could
it.
Just be, it could just be a whole body cast for 9
yeah,
months. How
well,
old were you?
I was 19 years old.
Wow.
So it was, when I say body, it was more like a Grace Jones corset. So it had, it was covering my torso to the tops of my thighs. So from under my armpits, a lovely sweetheart neckline. And then a whole,
really?
Yeah, because otherwise I'd be bumping my chin on it. So the doctors cut this little V out. So I had, and then I had a hole cut over the diaphragm. So just like there, so that my ribs could expand so I could breathe.
Oh, man.
But it was very claustrophobic. And it was Washington, D.C. in the summer where it's very, you know, 90 degrees, 90% humidity
wow.
and 90 degrees. I sweated through 3 casts, which is just as well, because I tell you what, they start to smell like a hamster cage, and you want to get out of that thing. But that,
what did you do? You'd hurt your back?
I had scoliosis, which is a spine curvature. It's idiopathic, meaning they didn't know how the heck it happened, but it was diagnosed when I was 13 or so, and as they monitored it, they said this is getting worse. So
this was to keep you in place, to keep the back.
Yeah, they had
straight.
The so I had surgery on. They fused 10 vertebrae. Surgery talk with Katie Puckrick. 10 vertebrae to a metal rod. So I am a bionic woman. I have
but
a metal
then you,
rod in my
but
back.
Then you were a dancer.
Yes.
How was did,
right
did you,
after?
Did the rod make it easier? Did it make
no,
it harder?
Harder.
Yeah.
So what had happened was, I always like to say, in a philosophical moment, having a metal rod surgically inserted into my spine is probably the best thing that ever happened to me in my career, because I was on track to be probably a not very successful ballet dancer.
Right.
But once I had my mobility limited by 10 fused vertebrae and a metal rod, and I wasn't as bendy anymore, but I could still dance, I thought, you know, I got to look elsewhere. So I retrained as a contemporary dancer, and I ended up working with some of the best companies in the world. I came to Britain and I worked with Michael Clark Company, Deviate Physical Theater. Yeah. I toured with the Pet Shop Boys.
Deviate. I don't know much about dance, but I did read a bit of it and see some videos of Deviate when I was at college. Mm. That's full on.
Yeah, it's full on.
That's intense stuff.
It's flinging yourself around. It's physical theater, so it's, you know, it's not just dance. It's emotion and sweating and crying, blood, sweat, and tears. But yeah, so it is very unusual. I mean, I've never met anybody else who's gone through what I've gone through and still been able to dance, because that's not always the case. Plus, I gained an inch in height, so they jack you up, and there I was, an inch taller.
And is it still in you?
Yeah, it's in me. It's in me forever, babe.
Wow, man.
I don't get ding-donged at the airport. People always want to know if when I go through the scanner, if I get caught up, but no. It's, so far, it's holding. You know, sometimes as the little implements can come loose, and then there's a few nuts and bolts running free in one's body. I don't want that to happen.
If you pass a bolt when you're in the bathroom, then you get yourself to a hospital as quickly as possible.
That's a good tip.
It's a good tip. What's the show called? Yacht Rock.
Oh, yeah, good question. So
we should let's get the serious plugging in
the
now.
Serious
so last
plugging.
Few minutes, let's plug the
My
hell out of
God.
This.
God, it's called I Can Go For That, The Smooth World of Yacht Rock.
It's two parts. 70s
first.
70s very white for yacht rock.
Yeah, 70s is very white. The sound is actually pretty black, you know, pretty soulful, but it is a lot of white guys doing that kind of furry, full-throated sound. And then by the time the 80s roll around, and actually the music becomes more homogenized in the 80s, because that's where synthesizers come in and drum machines, and it gets a little samey. And then it's black folk to the rescue, and we have George Benson and Jeffrey Osborne and Lionel Richie and Radio and the Commodores and Kool and the Gang and Jones Girls, and they come in and they just kind of sex up everything again. It just stays good.
How long does She's Gone by Hall & Oates gone for? It's a great song, but it's in the show, because we saw some of the show. It just seems to
what
go
show?
On. Your show.
Oh, my show, okay.
It seems to go, the Hall & Oates show.
Yeah, they're doing the old grey whistle test.
It seems to go on forever.
Oh, it's because it's in,
They're loving it.
Yeah, they're loving it. They're milking it. She's gone. She's not coming back. don't forget, and remember, she's gone. but it's interspersed with interviews and stuff, I think it's artificially, it's misleadingly long.
And this is the stuff that you were genuinely listening to.
Yeah.
So there's a great bit when you walk into a room and there's pictures. did you know that those pictures were the ones? Because you did a little bit.
My photographs.
You did a little bit of TV walking as you came around.
Oh,
the
my
corner.
TV walk is horrible.
It's the worst thing to do.
It's so horrible. And so the delightful Ben Wally was the director and the shooter. He filmed this whole thing. And when I was looking at an early cut of it, I just really cringed at that walk. I was like, why didn't you stop me and like make me walk better? Because like I'm a professional dancer, people. I can do a slinky walk. And there are some slinky walks in there, but I'm just doing this bouncy kind of do-do-do-do-do from walking in from the living room to sit down. Yeah, totally stagey. Anyway, we got off the track. The point of your question is, I was a teenager in the 70s when this music was coming out, and I hasten to add that it's not music that I had to seek out or deliberately sought out. It was played on the radio, you know, it was kind of against our will, kind of programmed into our brains, because there I was driving into Washington, D.C. from the deep suburbs of Virginia to go to the 9:30 Club to see Birthday Party or to see Magazine or to see Psychedelic Furs or Simple Minds or whoever was coming over from England. You know, Nico, I remember seeing her one night. But on the way there, I'm listening to all this yacht rock. That was my pregame for punk rock, was yacht rock. Because it's just so happy and uplifting and carefree and gorgeous. It's music that I think really, it's only makes sense in America. And that's why British people they have question marks about even the term. Americans get it. They're like, right. Oh, yeah, it's a metaphor. It's like, you don't have to be on a yacht. It's not physically about being on a yacht or owning a yacht or anything. It's just that idea of freedom and escape and wealth, you know, even emotional wealth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so this is music that is, and funnily enough, when I've been talking about it with my friends on Facebook, I get my old punk rock friends who are going, that music is so cheesy. I can't even believe, you know, have you just been replaced by a pod person, Katie Pucker? Wow. What's going on? Watch the documentary. I will contextualize it.
I tell you what I hate is I hate the phrase guilty pleasures. I think it's
me
kind
too.
Of going out of
no,
usage a little bit. Because if you like it, you like it. It's,
yeah.
It's you know, it's, there's nothing wrong with liking Hall & Oates or any of that. There's nothing
also,
wrong with it.
We're not 15 anymore. Who are we impressing at this point?
I think it's going, who's, there's a guy, there was a really, the guy that wrote Get It Up for Love, which David Cassidy covered on.
Ned Doheny.
I'd never heard of him.
Yes.
I know that song because it's on a late, not very good David Cassidy
album.
Well,
he wrote What You Gonna Do For Me that Chaka Khan did. So he's a big hit songwriter.
Wow, so he's got the cash.
He's got the cash. Well, interestingly for me, anyway, having lived in L.A., there's Doheny Drive, and Doheny are an old kind of aristocratic, in the American sense, Los Angeles family, and that's his family. So he did come from money.
Wow.
He was a beach bum, but he's big in Japan even now.
Yeah,
you know,
course.
They're real connoisseurs of this sliver of music.
You showed the cover of his album. God, he's beautiful.
Yeah, well, get this. When a lot of the doc is shot in our Airbnb where we were staying.
Was,
yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so that's where I was doing my bad stagey, like, walk. Oh, I don't know how to walk suddenly. and Ned Doheny is interviewed in there. And in fact, when I arrived from the airport, suitcases in tow, ding-dong at the door, it's Ned who opened the door to me. Big smile. Like, he had a sense of humor. You know, he didn't know. He just knew, oh, it's the host of the show.
How funny.
Yeah, so it's like, hi, welcome home. Like, oh, my God, it's Ned Doheny.
We got to go in a minute, but the last question's got very little to do with your show. When you're filming in an Airbnb, do you tell, I know this is out of your control, but do you tell the person whose place it is, or do you just kind of keep it quiet?
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that, but I can tell you whose Airbnb it was.
Yeah.
I walked in, and there were six Tony Awards.
I saw those. I thought they were dancing awards because you were looking at your photos.
Actually, they're not Tony. I misspoke because that is theater. They're Emmy Awards, uh-huh. Which is for television.
Yeah.
And so I climbed up all over the man's furniture and to look at the plaque. Can't remember his name, but he was the executive producer of the Jon Stewart Daily Show.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that's it. So he is living in New York now, and so it's a beautiful home in Larchmont in the middle of Los Angeles. And those were, oh, so those are in shot, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're my dance awards.
Yeah, that's what I thought. She's gone home, they've got the photos out for her, and they still have the trophies.
Yeah.
Katie, always nice to see you.
Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome. I hope the shows, you know, people watch them and they're a big success.
Yeah,
if you,
me too.
iPlayer, does anyone watch anything live anymore? Yeah. I don't think.
Yeah, but they're there for you, to help you, to give you balm on your soul.
Beautiful stuff. All right, lovely to see you. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. We'll take your calls. We're going to talk super eating after the news on Talk Radio.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record that they love.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nut job, but not that kind of nut job.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh, no.
My sister messaged me and said, you got to turn on Channel 4 now, it's Battle of the Super Eaters. And I think someone had mentioned it maybe earlier in the week. If you saw it, 0344-499-1000, give us a call. I kind of had it on, and I was looking at it, and then I was also prepping the show, and Katie arrived, and so I didn't get to see as much of it as I wanted. But I'm going to watch it all in its entirety because it's incredible. We got one of the stars of the show, a young guy called Kyle Gibson. Evening, Kyle.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm very, very well. Thank you very much indeed. Tell us, what is a super eater?
It's somebody that can eat an incredible amount of food and normally very fast.
And what am I right that you were trying to eat in the, one of the bits I saw?
Yeah.
There was a huge fry up and a roast dinner, and then a load of sandwiches as well. It was more than that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was basically the entire menu at a restaurant.
Yes, man, fantastic. And you didn't do it in the 30 minutes, but you did it in about 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was about 44 minutes. 30 minutes was quite ambitious.
When I saw it stacked up, I thought a day was quite ambitious, but you managed to... Kyle, I wouldn't normally ask, but I missed it on the show if it was mentioned. How old are you? Because you looked quite young.
20.
20. And... Yeah. How did you get into this?
I've been doing it sort of 4 years now. There was like a man versus food competition.
Yeah.
It was in a giant like container of ice cream. And I remember coming first in that.
Yeah.
Out of like four or five people, and just think, from that day, it kind of clicked.
And does your family not think, because I guess, I'm not guessing, it is quite dangerous, isn't it? You know, sometimes you can be eating 10,000 calories in 30 minutes. Are your family not worried about your health? Are you not worried about your health?
No, I mean, when I do the challenges, it's a very small part of my life.
Right.
The other sort of 6 days of the week, I'm really healthy, I'm really active. I'm always getting checked by the doctors, getting my blood taken, so I'm quite a safe person.
And you're a slim fella as well.
Yes, I weigh like 9 or 10 stone.
Well, I don't, the maths doesn't compute. Catherine is just joining my co-host. We've got Kyle on the
Hi,
line.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, how are we going?
How do you stay slim? Are you exercising? Are you just not eating for the other 6 days?
No, I'm in the gym pretty much 7 days a week, lifting heavy weights. I've got a really active job, so I'm always on my feet.
Right.
And then it's just a good diet after that. You don't starve yourself, you don't do anything crazy like that, you go back to a normal, sensible diet.
It says here, you managed to eat 11 Belgian chocolate waffles in under 9 minutes, which is 6,000 calories. Dear God, man.
That was quite enjoyable, wasn't it?
Good. This is the thing, man, because I saw that full English breakfast and the roast dinner and the sandwiches and the two desserts.
That was 10,000 calories.
That was 10,000, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the whole menu of the restaurant, basically. I'm glad you're enjoying it, but there must be moments with that meal in particular, where you hit the wall.
Yeah.
And you just, it becomes, that's, listen, anyone can eat a lot of food, but it's yeah. carrying on eating once you hit that wall. That's your skill.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's getting to the point where you're starting to get full and then just continuing.
Have you ever had any embarrassing moments where your body has decided to, well, you've puked up at the table. Have you ever done that?
Or shit yourself.
Oh, my God.
Either or.
No, I've never been sick doing a challenge. I've only ever been sick once. And that was actually like 5 hours after doing a challenge.
Right, so no connection then.
No, and it was ice cream.
Right. Oh, well, that's dairy. A lot too much dairy is going to make puke.
I think that was the problem. It was very chocolatey. And I don't know what happened. I literally got back in the house after doing a challenge, and my body was like, yeah, I don't want this anymore.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.